Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Today's Corolla Classics is brought to you by Geico. That's right, because if you own or rent, let's make it real easy for you by bundling those policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. So check it out. All you got to do is go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is this?
It's Geico easy.
Oh, yeah. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for Saturday, February 27th, 2021. You know how the show goes. We're going to play some highlights of the Adam Carolla Show. Over 12 years of podcasting to choose from, and we got an excellent show lined up for you. Very funny. My name's Chris Loxamana, the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Corolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Happy Saturday, Chris.
And happy Saturday to you, Gio. I'm real excited for this show. We're going to kick this off with some of the funniest guests that's ever been in studio with Adam. And I'm talking about the guys from Workaholics.
All three guys. So we got Blake, we got Adam Devine, and Anders making his return after a several-year gap. They'd all appeared on the show previously together. This is Adam Carolla Show 1251. It also featured Matt Atchity and Rotten Tomatoes game, but that's not in this portion. It's just the interview with the guys and a little bit of Allison's news. Check it out.
Yeah, back with the guys from Workaholics.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Adam, Blake, and Anders, or Durs, as we like to call them, in studio. Let's see, where are we going to? Season four or season? Yeah. Oh, I don't know seasons anymore.
Yeah, well, you did.
We're going into season four, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
New episodes, Wednesdays, 10 o'clock, Comedy Central. That, by the way, Comedy Central is very one and done. You could be have a great, successful season one, and then slow start season two, and see you later. Like,
They're perfect. They're great, actually.
Well, they're great if you're
they're
good.
They're the best.
If you guys perform, they're good.
Yeah, they're a fancy track record of cutting shows pretty prematurely.
I think that's why we really stack season one and two with as many dick references and tight butthole catchphrases as possible.
You have to get out and get strong with a lot of cock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The kids love it. The kids love cock.
Yeah.
Did you know tight butthole was going to be a catchphrase that caught on?
Not really. I think it was just something that we were saying. It sort of derived from Durs came over one day and we didn't like how people were saying, like, that's the tits.
Yeah. You get it, but you're like, it's a little bit of a reach.
I was like, that's not the tits.
Yeah, tits are cool, so then it's that.
Like,
but
what else is cool? Tight buttholes are cool.
So why aren't we saying that?
So then we started just saying tight butthole on the show, and now there's t-shirts.
Yeah.
My cousins wear on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Trapper
keepers. I felt this way about calling guys douchebags. I said many years ago, we should be calling them douche nozzles.
There you
because
go.
The bag just hangs up on the door. You know what I mean? That's but the nozzle.
That's,
you
know what I mean? That's the real dirty.
That's a business end. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Good call with that.
Yeah. And plus, let's douche nozzle sounds. Well, let's say, I mean, you guys, I don't want to put you on the spot, but it could be used by, let's say, a cab driver.
Sure.
That got cut off and yelled out the window at this guy, you know, hey, douche nozzle, shake your ass, you know. Could be a, you know, construction foreman saying, you know, listen, you douche nozzle, stay busy. I'm making a lunch run.
I mean, that's what's so great about the word. Anyone can use it.
Yeah.
This is like an infomercial for it.
It's a really relatable word.
Yeah. The mailman.
Man, I don't want to put you on the spot, but, you know, have fun with douche nozzle.
We might throw a douche nozzle in there.
Do you have a shitty neighbor? Try calling him a douche nozzle. Works every time.
That's the promo for the back half of season four.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know what I don't
like? Get the ShamWow guy.
I don't like how a U-turn is called flipping a tit, and I've never understood that.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Oh, you haven't?
Flipping a bitch?
It's a bitch that I've heard. But I like tit.
I
might like flipping a tit more than flipping a bitch.
I flopped a tit.
Go ahead. But why is it called either?
I've heard it was called flipping a bitch, and I don't know why it's called flipping a bitch, but also sitting bitch is a fairly derogatory, and that's why I enjoy. Yep. But that is, I guess that shotgun?
Shotgun.
Yeah, sitting that, bitch?
No, sitting bitch.
Or sitting in between. Yeah. Or in between. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, sitting
that's
shotgun. Right. Sitting shotgun.
Yeah,
that's, yeah, no, that's right.
Shotgun's cool.
Yeah, shotgun's cool.
Although
sitting
I
bitch,
don't mind sitting bitch because you usually get more room for your crotch. Mm-hmm. And I need room.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is.
And I just need room for
what
it.
A douche nozzle.
It is. It is true that the guy in the middle will be able to part the knee seas by just spreading them out that way.
There's a foot divider thing down there.
That's mm-hmm. true.
Unless you got a Tesla.
Mm, you don't
have it.
Oof. No tranny tunnel.
Nope. Mm.
That sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah.
Mm. Where are you going Saturday? Down to the tranny tunnel?
You can find me there most Sundays.
Hey, buddy, we got the guys from Jerkaholics.
No! What?
No! They're going to make it rain.
Bully.
You're going to get pink eye if you look it up. JH4. Come on, you douche nozzles.
Tranny tunnel.
We got the douche nozzles from Jerkaholics.
I think if you call a guy douche nozzle, too, he has to process it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you go, like, you call me a douchebag, and I'll here's how long. You call me a douchebag.
Douchebag.
Fuck you. Yeah, right now, call me douche nozzle.
Douche nozzle.
I'm not a... German descent?
No. Oh, shit!
Yep. Get back here!
You're
down the road.
Yeah,
that's what we like about, if someone's not cool doing something not cool, you go, hey, man, loose butthole. Uh-huh. They have no idea what's hitting them.
Right. Most
they're
insults, huge fans of the show. You don't have to consider, you know what I mean? Like, you have to consider what they mean, you're a cocksucker, you're a motherfucker, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Call someone a loose butthole or a
douche nozzle.
Douche nozzle.
Typo.
Like,
yeah.
About
well,
that.
Yeah. The best kind of insult is the one you can get 100 steps away from before, it really sinks in.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, light changes. Guys thinking, douche nozzle, is it October? Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
But you're gone.
Phone.
You're gone.
Googling,
yeah, he's
like,
Googling
images.
Douche.
What is it?
What exactly is it?
It's spelled Nozelle.
Right.
I'm not getting.
Yeah, that's right.
Douche Nozelle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're down the road. So how does the process work with workaholics? I mean, how
you're looking at it?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's just basically this. We're like, what words do we want to say this season?
Oh, you said douche nozzle. Okay,
douche
so nozzle. Then like a French person mm-hmm. shows up.
Have you been able to hire a lot of your jack off buddies to write for the show and things like that?
Yeah, we have a few of our jack off buddies.
It's
a gay thing.
Jack off buddies
for us.
You can't run it together with jack off buddies.
True.
We a little bit. I mean, we.
I feel
we
like they are their jack off buddies.
I know you guys are your own jack off buddies.
Tight circle jerk here.
Buddies,
yeah,
right?
It's a real tight circle
but
jerk.
At a certain point, you have. This is when you know you've arrived. When you're hiring people that aren't qualified to do anything except if they went to high school with you.
Oh yeah, we got
that's
them.
The best.
Oh yeah, we have
you
a
got
lot of them.
Them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh okay.
Not necessarily on the writing staff, but
besides each other,
production assistants. My best friend is lives in the house that we shoot the show in.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And he really holds it down with free rent.
Yeah.
It really pisses me off when I'm like, hey man, we're gonna go somewhere this weekend. We're gonna go to Vegas or wherever. And he's like, oh man, I don't have any money. And I'm like, that's bullshit. I pay you. I know exactly how much money you make, and I know that you get free rent.
I feel there's a version.
Nice. Got him.
They're the guys who choose not to own cars.
Yeah.
And there used to be a version of a guy who would not own a cell phone, but he needed to use your cell phone all the time.
Yeah.
And then there's a guy, Don Barris, who was in Windy City Heat. I think it was Big
Lou. We just saw
Big
him
Lou.
Holding down the Jimmy Kimmel Live stage.
Uh-huh. Does the warm-up.
Yeah.
And for a million years, he didn't drop. He just, as a guy who made a bunch of money and was semi-sober and lived in Hollywood, decided he just didn't like cars. He didn't want to have a car. So whenever we'd have the karaoke party over at Kimmel's, it'd be 2 a.m., everyone would be fucking half in the bag, and then it'd be like, who's driving Don home? And then be like, oh, shit. Sal, come on, you're heading back that way, can't you? I drove him home last time. And then, like, at a certain point, I'd raise my hand and go, the guy's 44, and he makes plenty of money. Perhaps he should purchase his own fucking car, and we wouldn't have to get in this argument about getting a DUI on the way home from driving Don Barris home. He eventually did, but it's weird how people can just kind of impose their shit. They go, oh, I don't drive. And you go, oh, okay, well, who's going to drive Don home?
Why didn't he take a cab?
It was like Well, it's weird because you have 25 people who do own cars.
On his phone.
And yeah, you need to borrow your phone to call the cab. And it's like, well, we're his friends. Somebody's going down the hill and going a little bit out of their way. But you just realize how you just get used to it. And yeah, the guy doesn't pay rent, doesn't have any money for Vegas.
My buddy was very recently, he since we were in between seasons, he's like, oh, what am I going to do for work? Maybe I can be your driver. And I'm like, I don't, one, I don't need a driver. Nope. And two, you've gotten in four car accidents in the last 6 months.
Yeah,
out of his you're the worst driver.
What are the chances you're going to get in fifth? Yeah. It's a short period of time. Maybe you could drive down Barris around and we could kill two birds with one Barris.
There you go.
That's it.
I think Barris. When we last talked to you guys, you used to live together, right?
Yeah.
We did.
And you were going your separate ways.
We now live in separate homes.
Mm-hmm. How's that going?
We go to each other's homes every day.
Yeah, I think I've seen you every day this week. Yeah. We're doing all right.
Yeah. Well, now we just go and shoot pool at each other's pool tables.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of our lifestyle now.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And Durs has a child. There's a child in this world. Mm. Yeah. Little Arna.
Wife and kid, all grown up.
Mm-hmm. Really?
A real adult.
Yeah. And how long have you been married?
I've been married 2 and some years.
You know, you got that Boogie Nights look. On,
I know, my dick's huge. I keep getting that.
Pornographic.
You know it.
Thank you.
I've seen it.
It's resting on the counter.
It's hairless, disturbing. So it looks bigger.
Yeah.
What is that actor's name?
Thomas Jane.
Oh, yeah.
He's hung, right?
I saw him at a party not wearing shoes.
Yeah, that's he doesn't wear shoes. Yeah. He doesn't
wear shoes. That was pretty weird.
Wait, did we have him on the show?
We did.
He was not wearing shoes on the show.
Weird, huh?
He doesn't do it.
Is that a real thing?
Truly.
Yeah, no, it's real.
He wasn't wearing shoes.
It's a commitment that usually crazy people make, but it's definitely one of those rich man, poor man, and we should add, these are, the rich man, poor man thing is, it came to me one day when I was working on Kimmel's, writing on Kimmel's show, I just thought about outdoor showers. And I thought, if you have an outdoor shower, you're either fucking rich or fucking poor.
Yeah.
But middle class guys don't have outdoor showers.
No, there's none of that.
And then I started thinking about, you know, furniture outside, like rich man, poor man, appliances outside.
Outside
like
TVs.
The washer dryer out by the tennis court and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just more than four cars is a rich man, poor man thing.
Totally.
And it just kind of kept going. But the fuck were we just talking about?
No shoes
is a rich man, poor man, or artist
thing.
Because there's people living in impoverished nations that don't have shoes, but here you're probably rich or you may just be super artistic.
Well, it's weird to make that commitment because it's definitely more comfortable a lot of times to wear shoes.
Yes.
Right. He
like
must
98%.
Be, yeah. It's got to be a rich thing because he must be walking on surfaces that do not hurt your feet at all. Like carpet. And,
carpet. Expensive carpet.
Silky carpet.
Empire carpet.
Sheep hair.
I just was walking and I picked up a fucking drywall screw off the driveway and I thought one of those could really ruin your day if you're barefoot. Mm-hmm. But it's one of these things that it's the same. Well, we need Jane.
Oh, yeah.
I think we got Jane minus the mustache. Yeah. I mean, minus the beard. I don't.
Yeah, he's a little strung out.
Which one is my?
He didn't have the. He didn't have the beard the whole time. I thought. I think for a while.
That's when he was on the coke binge.
Yeah,
have time to shave.
When he shows up to the pool party, he's a little more clean cut.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen Boogie Nights in quite some time.
But it's the best movie of all time. So most of it's in there.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I love that fucking
close
movie.
Close to flawless.
That 99% rotten.
I will then. I will then tell you this story, which I've said on the air. More than once, but
let's hear it again. Yeah, the fans want it.
Greatest hits.
Yep. Roller Girl came on the podcast.
Heather Graham, right?
Yeah. I should say Loveline many, many years ago. Heather Graham came on. So you got to put this back to 1997 or 8 or whenever.
This is 96.
Whenever
it was. 96 because Boogie Nights came out in 97.
So came out in 97.
Okay,
all right.
Cool.
So she came on to plug a movie, and it was not Boogie Nights. But over the course of Loveline, I said, what else you got cooking?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, there's this Paul Thomas Anderson. Is that?
Yeah, that's
right. But he was not really known at the time.
Well, I knew him. I'm going to take this back even further because Ernie Anderson, I think, was his dad. And I got to work this one out.
Who?
Ernie Anderson was a voice of ABC or one of the networks all through the 70s. And he's the guy who'd go, someone's killing showgirls and Dan wants to know why. And then later on the Love Boat, like he'd do the whole he'd do the whole thing. And I was like, wow. And he used to come into the liquor store I worked at on Ventura Boulevard, which is called the Flask Liquor. And he'd bring his little blonde haired sons in with him. Mm-hmm. And occasionally I'd deliver booze to his house in like Toluca Lake. And I was like, so you're making a movie with that kid who used to come into the liquor store.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, who else is in this? Well, it was Burt Reynolds, who was fresh off of Cop and a Half.
Yeah. Yes.
And
Devin Butler.
And then Marky Mark, the funky bunch guy, the fucking guy with the underpants ads.
Yeah, he's known for his Calvin Klein ads.
And then she's like, yeah, it's a 70s porn. I play Roller Girl. And I was like, oh, my God. God, do we got to? I got to get your agent on the phone, sweetie. Yeah. This is a disaster.
I can't believe you're doing it. Seymour Hoffman, John C. Reilly. Everyone's got three names or a middle initial.
And you're doing a movie with Burt Reynolds and Marky Mark. Yeah. It couldn't have been. I was like, this is the worst career choice ever.
In terms of defying the odds on paper, that would be one of the all-time odds defiers. Because mm-hmm. like on paper, that does not sound like a quality.
You kind of forget Marky Mark was
Marky Mark,
and Burt Reynolds was doing like Meineke ads. Yeah. Like he was doing paint and body spots for fender shops. Like you're gonna they're both completely gone away. Career
the longest
wise.
Auto yard. Come
That's
on
right.
down.
And now it's coming a little
bit. Oh,
better.
Yeah.
That is better.
So which one is me? I still don't
know. We got to check your feet. Yeah. one of my favorite movies of the last decade.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and he's still doing it.
Takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. But again, Barefoot, I feel like you're making a statement because, you know, then people go like, oh, the shoes are so confining and stuff like that. No, they're
not.
The shoes
are
good.
Very
your
regular
toes need.
Feeling.
Yeah, it feels good.
And
yeah.
I guarantee you he makes a bigger deal out of you asking him than it should be. When you're like, hey, why aren't you wearing shoes? Why are you – it's like because everyone
does
wears
it bother
shoes.
You? I bet that's what he said.
So I'm asking because you're doing what no one does.
So does it make you feel some way about yourself that you don't want to feel, man? I think there's something – there is that thing. I think it's an artist thing.
I just want to wear a cape next to him and get furious when he asks me about my cape.
What's up with the cape?
I'm probably just jealous. He's probably more real than all of us combined.
He's definitely cooler than
Or he's a huge diehard fan.
That's
that's
probably what it is.
Barefoot.
Next time I see him, I'll be like, shoot the glass. And he'll be like, fucking yes, this dude fucking gets it.
You get finally.
Me. You get me.
Your feet are bleeding.
Yes. Should we do a little news and you guys can jump in and hang out and crack wise and do all that kind
I
of
love
stuff?
That.
Oh,
I love
the
that.
News with Allison Rosen. Mm-hmm.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison. Allison.
So I don't know if you have been following the news that lethal injection drugs are in pretty short supply. European Union, which is against the death penalty, is saying that they're not going to export propofol, which is what they've been using. They used to use a combination of drugs, and then because of shortages, they're like, maybe we can use propofol. And they're saying that the European Union is saying they're going to stop exporting it if it's going to be used for lethal injections, which would then impact tons of surgery. So anyway, states are now considering going back to
hanging,
draining.
Yes.
Yeah,
to firing squads, electrocutions, and gas chambers.
So be
Sick.
It.
Okay.
Sure.
Those are the good old days.
We can't run out of stuff to kill people with.
Air. Empty syringes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good. Very good.
Free. All right. Just a couple things. I feel this way. I feel the same way about Europe and their fucking highfalutin, whatever. Like, we're against whatever. It's the same way. When some guy, snuffs his family out and then they flee to Mexico and then Mexico is like, well, we'll give him back, but only if you promise not to kill him. Fuck you.
Yeah.
We'll fucking take him back.
Wait, and Mexico says that?
Yeah.
Damn.
There's a lot of shit we have with other countries. And First off, fuck you, Europe. We saved your fucking ass twice.
Douche nozzles.
You douche nozzles. Douche nozzle. Yeah, I mean, honestly, where's the fucking gratitude for all the fucking shit we did? I just feel like this country's... We're constantly, like, we are the buddy who sober drives a pickup truck and always tells everyone we'll help them move or pick them up from the airport. Yeah. And the fucking one time we say to somebody else, hey, could you pick us up from the airport? They go, I don't think so.
They go, I don't have a car.
Right. My name's Don Bears. No, I just mean, fuck you guys. We saved you guys in World War II and World War I for that matter. You fucking should never stop paying us back. And if we went to propofol, fucking give it to us and fuck you what we do with it.
Am I the only one here who is not in favor of the death penalty? I don't lose a lot of sleep over it. My heart doesn't really go out to awful people. But in general, I just think there's too much of a chance to kill the wrong person. Where are you guys on it?
It's weird because I was thinking about the death penalty today in my car. And it's one of those things where I don't know if I could argue for it or against it until the situation happened where, like, you killed someone I loved and they're like, do you want to kill this person? I think I would be like, yeah, fucking kill him.
I don't think there should be a – I think it's pretty simple, which is you go, look, if this guy killed this one person in this situation – and we don't know everything about the situation, I don't need that guy to be on death row. Then there's the basic sort of Manson family kind of stuff.
Yeah, like you kill the psychopath, the guy that you find out like killed 14 people and like cut off their fingers
and did weird stuff about it.
Well, and then sets up like actually a pretty cool Instagram account.
Yeah.
For me, it's not really about the life and death part because I'm just an atheist. And everyone's gonna fucking die anyway, and you got a life sentence. You're gonna rot in prison. But there's a couple things like guys like Tim McVeigh. They're gone. They just got them. They caught them. They killed. I don't know, 100
Oklahoma
something.
City bomber, correct?
Right. But no memoirs, no marriage, not dropping any albums, nothing. He's just gone. He's just fucking dead. They just got him. They went, you killed a bunch of kids and a bunch of innocent people. You blew everyone up and you fucking, there's like a daycare center in there that got blown up as well. It's horrific. You're horrific. You're gone.
Goodbye.
Good. Moving on.
Bye-bye, Timothy McVeigh.
And I don't know why we do the thing where you go, and this is what we do. We go, well... But if you kill Tim McVeigh, then you have to kill the poor black guy who doesn't get proper representation in court and who has the mentality of a ninth grader, may or may not have been spotted by the white guy who's a racist at night. And you go, why? Why does everything have to be the same? Why can't we just agree on Tim McVeigh? We'll start with Tim McVeigh. We'll work our way back to the black guy who's been railroaded with no education and the racist eyewitness who may or may not have seen the person rob the bank. You know what I'm saying?
The part that I have trouble with, and I'm sure that this will strike you as perhaps childish, is the idea that we're saying we're going to take your life because it is not okay that you took someone's life. I mean, just on a fundamental level, that has always felt wrong to me.
Is it not more like we need to
remove you
extinguish
from
you from what we're trying to do here? Because it's pretty cool. It's pretty fun. Mm-hmm. You know, we got Red Bull,
got
roller coasters, and like tits.
Yeah,
and
so
you're ruining
really
it.
Fun things.
So like, you got to leave the party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, there is an element that you never bring – we never really bring up, but it's kind of true. There are other little factors like you can, during your stint in prison, kill somebody else like a guard or another inmate or whoever. There's a chance or maybe you'd like to. Mm-hmm. So there's possible other lives that you can take along the way. McVeigh could have stabbed somebody in the shower or what have you, wherever at some point. It's not high likelihood.
Right. He could have taken the life of someone that we're trying to keep alive so we can take their life.
Mm-hmm. Or just somebody who's hanging around for a long period of time. But either way, there's the chance that you get let out at some point, even if it's down the road and you take another life, or there's a chance that you take someone else's life, a guard or whoever, in the joint. But either way, what the fuck do we need you for?
So you don't like that that we make the decision to kill these people? Would you be cool with like if we did like some sort of gladiator sort of
like the Running Man?
Yeah, like the Running Man.
Oh yeah, like
if the Running Man became a real thing.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Cool. All right, let's set totally that up because I also would love that.
Because that would be fun. So Missouri State Representative Rick Bratton, you know
Ricky,
him, Rick.
Everybody knows him.
Yeah.
He proposed
firing squad said, this isn't an attempt to time warp back into the 1850s or the wild, wild west or anything like that. It's just that I foresee a problem and I'm trying to come up with a solution that will be the most humane yet most economical for our state.
I'm down with firing squad. Look, here's the part.
It's insane that we're running out of drugs to kill people with. Like what you just said, you just put air in their veins.
Yes, you just do that. And they go,
that's not humane enough.
Mm-mm. They're trying to find it.
They're walking towards their death. Like, that's the worst. It's humane to go, hey, you got 3 more months on death row. That night, gas in their fucking chamber while they're sleeping so they don't have the stress of, like, walking down the Green Mile or whatever the fuck it's called.
So the last two executions, one guy, it took 26 minutes for him to die by injection. He was gasping repeatedly as he lay on a gurney with his mouth opening and closing. Just like that Faith No More video. Mm-hmm. And then in another one, the guy's final words were, I feel my whole body burning.
Well, good.
Oh, yeah, right.
Halfway to
He's
hell.
Making that shit
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
He's just doing that, so we have to talk about it, making an issue.
Propofol actually does make your body burn.
You're not burning.
Well,
guy's it just feels like
dying.
You are. You're dying.
Durs is right. Anders is right.
Constantly.
You make sense because
yes.
The torture is the part where I tell you you're going to die in 3 months. It's not the part where you die. The bullet is the fastest way to die. Walk to the bullet that takes it out of you. Yeah. If you really think about it, where you go like, well, we want it to be painless and we don't want it to be prolonged. Good. 15 bullets in the head yeah. simultaneously. Yeah. Not a lot of writhing in pain. Not a lot of you holding your cheek going, God damn, shit, no, the fuck.
You shot my jaw.
Now, if you think about it, the bullet is the fastest, and it's the most painless way because you have marksmen putting a bullet in your head and in your heart.
It's like how they kill cows. They just have that little like knife poker thing that they shoot, and then it just shoots like
a little bolt
into their skull.
Poisoning them, besides ruining my double-double.
Mm-hmm.
And would be slow and drawn out and what have you. So the most torturous part of this whole process is the week leading up to the part where you die, not the part where you die. The part where you die, you should be thrown in a giant Cuisinart.
Right.
Why?
That's cost-effective and fun. You know what felt like an execution? I'm sure you can all relate. I had
the Golden Globes.
No, it's something true. Equally vacuous, though. A wedding dress fitting, which is where you stand there sucking in your gut while someone puts pins in the fabric all around you, just slightly above your skin level.
We've all been there.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right? Death of
torture.
Well, but it's scary if you don't enjoy being stuck by needles.
Sure. Or getting your hair braided
very
tightly.
And then I looked down and there was blood on the outside of the dress. And I don't know if it was mine or hers. It seemed very unsanitary.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it was mine because I kept saying.
I think that means she's a virgin.
Hang it up.
You can buy
them
with blood on them, the virgin series. There's a whole series of virginal bridal dress.
I think she pricked herself.
It's called Fool the Man.
Yeah,
but more importantly.
Huge amongst some Middle Eastern cultures.
Does the shooting thing, like, don't they line up like 5 different guys and they load one gun with a real bullet so none of them know?
They line up like 10 guys and they give one guy a blank.
Mm-hmm. One guy gets a blank.
Yeah.
But whose rules are these?
So 9 dudes just blow them away?
Yeah. Traditionally, how it worked in the past. I don't know the modern day firing squad because it seems to be a relic. But they would line up a group of guys and one guy, for the psychological well-being of the guys that were squeezing the trigger, they do a blank in the one guy's gun so that that guy could go to bed at night and go, I bet I had the gun that had the blank. They wouldn't have to think about putting a bullet in the guy's head.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't watching the people drop?
You don't know.
Well, you definitely know when.
No, you don't. You don't. Not if you all fire at the same time. They don't take turns.
That
would be cruel.
Yeah. One dude's like, yes, cool. Oh, you got to fucking kill him, Phil.
You go first.
It's a variation on Russian roulette.
No, you all fire at once.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you this right now. They will, if they bring back the firing squad, The one thing they will still outlaw is smoking.
The cigarette?
They will not let the guy smoke and because of the secondhand smoke Mountain that could happen. Or the health effects it would have on him.
Yeah.
His corpse.
And the last meal, do you really think they're going to get that last meal down when they're hey, we've got you the Cheesecake Factory, like meatloaf like you wanted. You can't eat that shit when you're 45 minutes away from being getting your head blown off.
Yeah, you got to be cold-blooded.
I feel like we've read stories about how they're cutting back on the last meals for cost.
They have a chef.
We're out of ketchup.
They have a
no bread.
They have the prison, there's a prison chef who does the meal.
It's true. I've seen documentaries
on it, too.
It sounds like an awful cooking channel show.
It sounds like a really good Larry the Cable Guy movie, though.
And he'll do the best he can do.
Yeah.
That's right. Prison has been taken over by terrorists. There's one man with a knife between freedom and communism. And that's Larry the Cable Guy is prison chef. That's right.
But first, he's got to make one last meal.
Right.
For the one last mission.
A knuckle sandwich.
Motley Crue are retiring, and they've planned 72 goodbye concerts.
Oh, no.
What? They didn't retire in 97?
No.
Yeah, shout out to
we retired them.
Yeah, they kind of did.
Yeah.
They just did a reunion tour like 2 years ago, right?
I think. And, Tommy Lee still does that like spinning drum thing, which is really rad, how it like rotates and stuff.
Yeah.
I got to give it up to him.
Well, Nikki Sixx said, "We want to leave a legacy. We want to have some dignity." And the band members have signed a legal agreement promising not to perform as Motley Crue after 2015. The only thing that could reverse it is if enough people clap.
Yeah.
He didn't say that.
I heard that. If we all agree to just make more money.
I've heard that Tommy stopped doing that spinning cage thing because he was concussed by his own cock several times.
Yes.
It got loose. Now, he usually zip ties it to his right thigh, but it got loose and swung down. And just bang.
Oh, my
right
God, there's a snake loose in Tommy's drum set.
He crushed his orbital socket when it came flying down on him. He can't invert himself.
That porno was the cool. He was so not embarrassed by that at all. He was like, did you see it?
He's like, uh-huh.
It was really awesome, right?
By the way, that's Pam Anderson.
So it's like,
I drove
better.
The boat with my dick.
Well, it would
be. Did you see that?
It's like one of these things where if somebody just sort of woke you up from a coma and said, "You're in a bootleg porn video that's gone viral all over the internet." Hold on.
Okay. Still pissed.
You have a huge cock. You're super skinny, makes your cock look bigger. You're fucking Pam Anderson. And you're steering a houseboat with your cock. It's getting better, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm listening.
And I'm in.
You're in, right?
I'm living the dream life.
I feel like initially this would sting, but as the details start to come out, it starts to sound pretty impressive.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this ain't bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to all 72 shows.
Perhaps I'm asking you guys to reveal too much. But where did everyone see this? Like, did you just watch it online, or did you have to purchase this, or was it something like a viral video leak kind of thing?
I got fucking completely raped, literally. Literally. Literally raped by this
video.
He's
crying. You can't see it, but he's crying.
Tommy Lee?
I was doing a show in, we did the University of Pennsylvania, Drew and I. And many years ago, and I was staying in my hotel room, and I was like, I'd never seen the video, and I got back to my hotel room, and I had a couple of beers after the show, and I sat down and did like the adult only, and it was on the pay-per-view on my hotel room.
So this is a little later.
Yeah, it's a little later, a little bit. And I was like, wow, a nice buzz. I was alone in my room. I'd never seen the fucking thing. I'd interviewed the both of them three times, and I was like, I'm going to watch this video.
Yeah.
And I turned it on, and it was $12.99 or some fucking princely sum.
Got the conditioner from the bathroom. Yeah.
That's right. I'm not going to get burned by Prel again. No. I'll tell you that. Fuck it. Fool me once. Shame on me. Or you. The point is this. The fucking thing was all hacked up, so they didn't have any cock in it.
Oh.
At all.
Mm. How dare they?
That's bad. $12?
It was fucked up. What happened?
Someone burped.
I burped the worst amount.
In her face.
Jeez.
Got it.
Sorry, she got it right in her face.
I warmed you. We had Zanku today.
Oh, we had Zanku.
We had some chicken.
It's okay. Mm.
I tried to blow. A lot of garlic. Came out this way. I saw
first
her face.
First, I felt hands
melt.
Flapping by.
I didn't know what that was.
For you guys listening, she fainted.
Yeah. I just picked her off the ground.
I was telling a story about jacking off in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, that was cool. And
sorry, yeah.
God. I'm no Heloise, but I do know decorum. When someone is telling a jack-off story in Philly.
You story.
Damn.
So go ahead.
Actually, the scent helped. It was kind of like Smell-O-Vision for a second. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Paid my $12.99. Watched the PG-13 version of it that they allowed in the hotel.
Yeah.
And like went through it. Sort of had a little bit of a buzz, and it was over in like 21 minutes. And I was like, was that all hacked up? I didn't see anything. And I kept waiting for, we're going to get to the good stuff. Mm-hmm. Never got to it. Thought that somehow I was just out of it enough and fucked up enough, and I ordered it again.
Oh. No.
Fucking threw it again. $28 later, nothing.
Jeez.
Went to the bathroom, thought about my grandma and beat off in the dark, using my own tears as lube.
Wait, what is
good strong woman?
Yeah.
What is an edited adults only? Like, was there? Did you not even see any?
Well, genitals? Now they're now it's back, real aggressive.
Back the in the hotel, back in the days, the hotel porn they would clean it up.
It was diluted. Yeah, it was cut.
Ooh, yeah. Diluted. What does that mean? Like no foreskin? I don't
stepped on, man.
Well, now it's real intense.
Yeah. Now there's a lot of spitting on things.
Mm. It's been cool too.
You could get it in your own home.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh yeah.
The porn. Oh yeah. But what they would do what they did on like Cinemax and HBO and stuff. They would take porn movies and they would whack them up. Pardon the pun. And so. All they couldn't show the graphic shit, so it was usually tons of tight shots of Ron Jeremy going, "Oh yeah,"
sure.
Just his big face, because they have to keep cutting back to the scene that was not his cock, mm-hmm. and it was fairly archaic shit. It didn't work. It was sort of Civil War surgery kind of stuff.
Yeah, porn is where you don't want theater of the mind.
Right.
You just want to see it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. See, there was two kinds of porn. There was porn, then there was soft porn. Then there was porn that was made soft by cutting out all the good shit and replacing it with Ron Jeremy's big fucking head.
It's like when they do the 3D after they've shot the movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you got to shoot it 3D.
Shoot it in
know.
There.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
So I watched it two times. I paid almost $30 and I got nothing.
Well, that was it. Big shout out to all the hotels showing real porno now.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys are heroes.
Yeah, welcome.
I remember getting it off of Morpheus, which was like a sharing Napster type site that had videos as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a LimeWire kid.
Sure.
Mm. Nice. Snagged it off there.
Yep.
Just totally infected my parents' computer with a weird amount of viruses.
Yep.
Not to mention your personal
McAfee semen. couldn't do a damn thing.
All right, let's do one more, baby girl.
Well, speaking of porn, there's a porn studio in California. Yeah. Which is they're digitally erasing the condoms from the porn.
Oh.
So that's how they're getting away with...
Are they replacing with anything?
Mm-hmm.
No.
They're just not using them.
Just Veggie Tales.
they're open for endorsements like the Nike swoosh and things like that.
They're trying to make money. Release California Dreamin' 1, the studio, filmed all its scenes with condoms but managed to digitally remove the prophylactics in post-production. The director said the film that they made is meant to tap into fantasies of bareback sex in the 1970s and 80s while also aligning with the safe sex ethos that is currently being enforced in L.A.
Wow.
Well, they did it. They got around to it.
We've met our future.
Yeah.
Holy
finally.
But now
what if they use green condoms? Then they could just...
Yeah.
There'd be no dick there.
But then they could just edit in a bigger one.
Yeah. Or like Mr. T.
I don't know.
Now I'm thinking about
favorite is like the monstersofcock.com yes. where they just apply a fake. Have you seen this?
Yeah. I'm sad to say yes.
Where they just apply
bazooka dick.
Like it's the size of an arm. And then it's like, oh, I'm about to come or whatever, and then it just hoses out cottage cheese.
Yeah.
For like 15 minutes. It is the best.
Yeah.
It is. It's funny that we all have our We all have our over under this is fake load salvo number. Yeah. We're like the first fucking milky load comes flying out of the guy's cock. You go, that's impressive.
Hey, way to
and
go.
Then
the second one flies out and he goes, this guy's got a gift. And somewhere between the third and the 50, oh, give me a break. Okay. This is insulting. What is
Where's the wires?
What is this guy's
you
diet?
You are insulting
Then
me.
You go back
well,
and you're like,
don't
watching
like this.
For
girls
the...
don't like that. No, it's too big. That would hurt them. That would hurt them.
There's some what you call, they're tells in the monster cock business. Mm-hmm. Some of the tells are like when the guy will not remove his hand from the base. Uh-huh. He acts like he's holding a sword, like, but it's,
no, this
it's
is important public service.
It's so unwieldy. And if you see any kind of truss or harness system, that now that's
or
all
if they
BS
won't show
too.
Their face, right? Then you know they're like, I mean, yeah, no, it looks real. I just won't wear these sunglasses and this grill and like this bandana.
I had an argument with an ex girlfriend of mine that she didn't believe that it was fake, and she was like, you are just saying this because your dick isn't that big.
Oh.
And I'm like,
wait, and you guys broke up?
We're married now. ex-girlfriend, we're married. No. But it was like, no one's dick is this big. It was like a 38-inch penis.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. Like, it's unclear whether they would probably convert more people into believers if they stayed within the realm of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So instead of dropping basically one of those C-130 fire planes worth of jizz on the chick, right. Like they literally get one of those helicopters with a snorkel on it and just fucking drop the jizz on her, just give me Peter North times two and I'll go,
wow.
There's
a new guy in
here.
Town.
Well, there's a new jizz sheriff.
Yeah. But it's definitely more hilarious if she's just fire hosed.
Well, you know what?
She's just hit with it.
Well, now here's a question, and I have a hypothetical for you. She is my okay. Let me ask you this. I posed a question the other day. Would you rather have your daughter working at the Spearmint Rhino in the City of Industry or have your daughter be the chick up on the big billboard for the Spearmint Rhino in the City of Industry that a million cars go past on the 605 but not actually
but she's
work
not working
at the place?
There? Get up on the billboard. Because then she's a model if she's at the Spearmint Rhino.
What about
in the City
all the fucking guys, not guys you work with, but the guys back at the shop?
Sure.
You know what I mean? School, for other folks that went to school with her. Everyone thinks your daughter.
Huh? Well, does she wear? Is she just slinging drinks? Maybe she's not on stage. She just
no, she's
there.
Working.
She's in the heavy petting room.
But the only way you know it is if you go there as well. Mm-hmm. This way, it's millions of eyeballs a month going past your daughter.
I would say just work it. Work it, girl.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'd say to my daughter.
So now brings me to the obvious follow-up question. If then your same daughter decided to make the move into porn.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Would you rather have her do a movie where she got a small amount of real semen placed upon her or in the novelty series where she was just basically it was a Gallagher concert of jizz.
Sure. Hosed by Gack.
Can it be by me? Can it be by me?
It well, can't be least... your own. You know, you can't be related.
Wait,
you're screwing up this hypothetical. The point is, it's not real semen.
It's okay,
but
baby.
It's 2 gallons of it.
Well, right. I think I would rather go, it's not the real stuff, because that at least is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I could be like,
that's why I'd
want to
be there.
Daddy's footsteps. She's a little comedian.
Look at her.
Look at her.
It'd be like,
please don't look at her.
Turn it up like the UHF fire hose just fucking blows her across the room.
All right, so we're going with
fake gallons.
Gallons of novelty versus
me doing the
9 cc's of the real stuff.
Because it's got it has
it is
some
funny.
Humor.
It's very
it's
pretty
funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then it's like, oh, he's done.
And then
he's
the dick has
done.
To be like 38 inches.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's got to be a real firing squad.
Yeah.
But we're split on the billboard with the Spearmint Rhino.
I'm billboard.
I think I'm billboard.
I think I said earlier, work it, girl.
Mm-hmm. You did.
Those were the guys from Workaholics. Very funny dudes. And very rarely, Gio, do we let three guests come into studio. We usually just cap it off at two because otherwise there's just too many people in the room. But with these guys, we're always happy to welcome them all at the same time.
I didn't know that. It's interesting to find out. Yeah, this one was from January of 2014.
Yeah, so, oh, nice. And typically, like with bands, we only usually just have the singer and maybe like the guitarist or a drummer with them. But yeah, for this case.
On Loveline, they used to do two and two from a band. So the first hour, two guys could come in or two gals or whoever, but they mixed up that band members. And then the next hour, they could switch them out if they wanted to. There was oftentimes like infighting because people didn't want to leave the studio because like certain band members were bigger fans of the show. So like early on, all of System of a Down would come on, and then it just turned into like everybody but Surge.
Well, speaking of bands, we've got to talk about one of the greatest band leaders of all time, Paul Schaefer. And he came in 2009.
Adam Carolla Show 182. So this is an original OG one-on-one format. 182 episodes in. It's October of 2009. This is like the first half of the show or opening chunk. We'll be playing the rest of it tomorrow in the Carolla Classics feed. So make sure to subscribe to that so you can hear this full show. It is fun. Check it out.
Very excited to welcome to the podcast Paul Schaefer. I'm a huge fan.
People don't know the working vibe that you have here. You come out to Glendale to see you. Mm-hmm. You're in a sort of a hangar. Mm-hmm. You got your own hangar.
Yeah.
And you've got, you're working on cars in the back, like Leno.
Yeah.
And Seinfeld.
Well, what we do is we do podcasts in the front, and then we run a chop shop in the rear.
I can't believe it. Yeah. Are you going to have a show like that, like those motorcycle guys, and the guys come in and order a thing? I'd like to order a chopped blown Hemi.
I don't feel like that would work because those shows always need conflict, and I don't think my sister would take kindly to me screaming at her.
You're just the most relaxed guy.
You think so?
Do you do bored and stroked work, stroking work?
Bore and stroke?
Boring, yeah. Do you bore and stroke in there?
We will bore and we will stroke and we will toss in a ring and a pinion.
Man.
Yeah. Groovy stuff. Now, Paul,
and
I know.
You come out here and then you do a podcast.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Now, Paul was actually kind enough to remember one of my Letterman appearances from way back in the day, which I found extremely flattering because you see five a week for the last 200 years. So besides
I was interested in you. I was a fan of yours. I had become aware of you from the show that you did with Dr. Drew.
Uh-huh. Loveline. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you still do that?
No. No, but we did it for many years.
Many years, and I used to watch it. Mm-hmm. And it was a sort of an entertainment show masquerading as a medical show.
Sure.
Yeah, and then you would give serious advice to lovers out there, and then you would do jokes on them at the same time.
Yeah.
Nice the way you worked that out.
I enjoyed it, and I like the sort of easy nature of it. I like the improvisational nature of it. And I'm guessing that's one of the reasons you and Dave have been so successful over the years, just that sort of easy back and forth and give and take. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pay you a compliment, Paul Schaefer. We had Dave Thomas. I think Dave Thomas was in here a week or so ago, and we were talking about just how funny you were, and you know, not funny for a musician, but just funny. He was saying how funny you were, not for a keyboardist, just how funny you were.
Great.
Which is sort of nice. It's like someone saying he's funny, not just for an athlete. He's actually funny.
Yeah, actually funny. I get it. I get it, and I appreciate it. Dave, as you know, has been a dear friend since the early 70s. Mm-hmm. We started out in show business together. In Toronto.
Dave Thomas.
Yeah, Dave Thomas. He of the great SCTV sketches and, of course, well-renowned for his Bob Hope impression.
Oh,
nobody does it better.
Yeah,
nobody is funnier.
Well, you guys, everyone started back, everyone was in Canada, right?
I mean, all of our group, yeah, and we're still a close group. Dave Thomas is in it, Martin Short, Eugene Levy, Andrea Martin, perhaps the funniest of all of them.
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to say I just saw you in Spinal Tap because somebody just screened it. We just had like a movie. I love Spinal Tap,
beautiful,
of course. And
yeah.
I love you as Artie Fufkin.
Thank you. One of my hits. Polymer Records. Thank you for remembering my hits.
There's
Spinal Tap all in the book. You know, I talk about how that happened. Really because of my friendship with Harry Shearer. Mm-hmm. Who was a bass player in the Spinal Tap band.
Sure.
Said you got to come on board and do a promo man.
Right.
And I did. And my biggest scene was cut, where I come into their hotel room and try to get them to do an early morning radio appearance, and there's no way they're going to get up.
Oh, really?
I get so frustrated that I take an egg off the catering tray and smash it on my head. And then it just kind of all runs down my face.
And they cut it.
But it is in the DVD as a bonus thing. Bonus
as a deleted
feature.
Scene.
Yeah, so if you, it's not deleted anymore.
Yeah.
So you get to see my big scene.
Well, it's that way, actually, with a lot. I've joined the ranks. Well, you've had a scene deleted. I've been completely deleted from movies.
Congratulations.
No.
Anything
it's better to have a couple scenes in the movie like you had.
At least I had a couple scenes,
have, you know, it's better to, let's say, go 3 for 4 at the plate than 0 for 4.
Can you give me an example of any of the movies that...
I
might know that you were in.
Yes, I was in Smith's.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. That thing.
Go to. No,
Brad.
No. I would have loved to have been deleted.
Brad,
I mean, I enjoyed
and Angelina.
That. I enjoyed that movie. No, I'm trying to think of the Will Ferrell was in it, mm-hmm. and you know I've probably cleansed it from my memory because it's so painful to bring it up because I probably had post traumatic stress disorder. Yeah. This was, the guy who wrote Clerks, Smith.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith movie. Kevin Smith movie, Will Ferrell, Bob, Jay and Silent Bob.
Whatever it is, they
take over the universe. Either way.
Oh, yeah, they should have cut you from it, you know.
I was nipped.
You're funny. I'm sure you were good at it.
I would like to think so.
Maybe you're back in the bonus features. Maybe you're back in the DVD.
Well, I don't know. I should look for that.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works. I did, by the way, Letterman. I probably took about 8 years off in between Letterman appearances, which was strange to me.
Yeah.
I have no... Have
I was
how does
well,
that
I
work?
I haven't been able to. I've been there every night.
Yes.
But I don't know. I was remembering your last one, which was hilarious because you were saying all the people that never thought I'd go anywhere.
Was not the last
one.
Well,
wasn't?
That was the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. That was the name of the movie
you
I
came
was
on to promote
from.
That? You came on to promote that movie?
No. Yeah. It's not going to promote a movie I was deleted
Well, you were wonderful
from.
Two times ago. Last time, I don't even remember. I don't know what that says.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't. All the guests, all the events.
I remember that one, though. You were hilarious. You kept pointing at Dave. Ah, see where I am now? Look at this. Look at this guy. All
yeah,
right?
I basically...
All right, kiss my ass.
I went on... The first time I went on Letterman, I thought, well, what should I... You know, there's always that, what should you do? What should you say?
I was worried about coming over here into Glendale.
What should you do?
What should I do? I had no idea that you'd be out there making a car, and you'd wipe your hand, the grease off your hands, and come in and put a mic on and do a thing.
This is what we do.
Yeah, hilarious.
So I decided the most organic thing for me to do on David Letterman was to tell all the people who I dealt with, my manager from McDonald's, my school teacher, my teacher who failed me in biology and in driver's ed, and all, to tell them, hey, I'm on Letterman, kiss my ass. Because that's the impulse. I mean, that's
and you
when you're
it.
Watching Letterman as a struggling comedian, you're thinking one day, if I ever go on this show, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And it turned out, I'm so glad you remembered
it. I thought it was very, very funny,
And we're, by the way, we're intentionally not talking about the Letterman controversy because I will get crap. People will say, why didn't you bring up Letterman?
Right,
why didn't you
right.
bring up the controversy? Because we're here to promote Paul's crap, and Paul doesn't need to get any crap from Letterman anyway.
Well, not only that, I'm not allowed to talk about it because there is a legal thing. It's an actual legal proceeding going on.
Right.
I just can't talk about it. I've been told by my bosses.
Good.
Just say I can't talk about it.
I'm fine with that.
Thank you.
Want to tell anyone who's listening who's going to say, why didn't you ask about this? This is why.
You did.
We legally can't talk about it.
You asked about it. I said, kiss my ass.
So, again, you start off. Now, what do you want to do? Like, I mean, when do you start playing the keyboards? How early do you start?
Oh, I was playing it as a little kid. You know, my parents made me take piano lessons, but when I heard rock and roll on the radio, I said, that's it for me. And I started learning how to play rock and roll by ear. And the Four Seasons are still my favorite band ever for that
reason. Frankie Valli?
Frankie Valli and the Seasons.
Yeah.
Seasons 4.
Yeah.
I used to play their songs and bash them out as loud as I could.
Really?
100 Pounds of Clay by Gene McDaniels. That may be a little before your time.
Oh, listen.
He took 100 pounds of clay.
And then he said... Hey, listen.
You got it.
I'm going to make fix this world today. From all the whatever.
Because I know what's missing.
And he rolled his big sleeves up.
And a brand new world began. He created a woman and lots of loving for a man. Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Whoa. Yes, he did. That song really changed my life.
Should we do Gene McDaniel's other big hit?
Tower of Strength? That's the one I remember.
Yeah.
If I were a tower of strength, I'd doubt as if I'd knock on the door, and then I'd hear what I say. I don't want you. I don't need you. I don't want you anymore. And I'd walk out the door. Boom, 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 boom. All right, that's enough.
Get down on your knees. I think we have it in the jukebox.
You
what
are,
number, Donnie?
You are Donnie, an old musical
Donnie, remember
soul.
10 years ago I told you to put labels on this goddamn thing?
Yeah.
We'll play for Paul after we're done with it.
Well, why are you pointing at it now if we don't have you don't have labels on it?
Tell Paul it's in the box.
All right, it's Donnie, there. Get back in there and ruin the show
no,
from
that's
inside
pretty
the
good.
Box.
You are a younger.
I'm younger, but
I
love myself some Gene McDaniels.
You sure do.
Because Gene McDaniels was funny. Mm-hmm. The songs were funny.
Yeah.
They were well orchestrated. They had a great score to them. They were big. You know, they had horns. That they were sort of ironic. You know, when he'd say, "But a tower of strength is something."
And then you go, I'll never be. There was a big, I try to strength is something.
We didn't belch. He kind of went,
no, but he sighed.
But then he played the great sort of
trombone.
That trombone. Wah, 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 wah.
You're a musical, you are a musical cat.
I love music, and I do, and I love that era of music.
So that's the era when I started playing.
Oh, wait a minute, we got it. Here you go.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to come over here so the mic can pick up.
Yeah.
There's the trombone. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Gene McDaniels is black, by the way. A lot of people, it sounds
sounds like
white music.
It's a little bit white,
I tell you, you made Adam's day because he does constantly like push Gene McDaniels on and off all the time through the year.
Hilarious.
It's amazing that you
well, you know, he had something to do with Roberta Flack later.
He
in
did.
The 70s. One of her big records, I think he wrote. And he was performing in New York, and I went down to see him. And I introduced myself, and I had just started Letterman, you know, and I said, you know, you really changed my life. And he said, yeah, you're funny. Yeah, I watch you all the time on Letterman. I said, no, you really changed my life. Yeah, that's funny. I said, no, because you see, when I started learning rock and roll from the radio, there were only three chords, C, F, and G. You could play every chord. And then Not Tower of Strength, the first one, 100 Pounds of Clay came out. There were four chords in it,
right?
C, A minor, F, and G. And he said, wait a second, you really are serious, aren't you? I said, yeah, the song really, you know, it upped the ante when it came to rock and roll.
Well, who else from back in the day do you appreciate, did you dig? And if anyone younger than us is listening,
the Orlans, don't hang up.
Don't hang up. Don't hang up.
Oh, don't you do it now. Don't hang up.
Yeah, that's the Orlans. Yeah.
I like
that's a real 50s jam.
Don't hang up. Yes. It was the era when American Bandstand was out of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And so there were a lot of records coming out of Philly at that time, and the Orlans were one of them, and Cameo Parkway was the label.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Little Eva's Locomotion was on that.
Sure.
And I loved, the, you know, of course, the Ronettes.
Sure.
Be My Baby is the national anthem.
Right, right.
When that comes on, I stand.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Rebel was my theme song as a kid.
Sure, I can see that.
Yeah, and I was a kid bashing these songs out on the piano. Mm-hmm. Instead of buying the records, I would learn how to play them on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I kind of got
and
started.
And you learned by ear? You just listened to the radio?
I still do everything by ear. I can barely read music.
Really?
So even though I'm in a real job as a real band leader on TV, I'm really faking it in a lot of ways.
Well, when you're playing with a band, where you essentially are the band on Letterman, and there's somebody with a hit song that you have to play. You just listen to the song a couple
times?
Yes,
I give out the record, and I have the whole band listen to it and play, learn it by ear. That's the way. The horn players always say, well, what about a chart? Have we got a chart? Do we have a chart? Can we get a chart? Forget the chart. Mm-hmm. Just listen to the thing and play it. That's what I want people to do. They insist on writing down a chart, though.
I'll tell you, it is... I am very envious of you because it seems like you're having such a great time out there.
Well, I mean, I don't have a hangar with a, you know, and tinker with cars in the back.
No, but you're
short of that. I'm having a pretty good time.
You really look like you're having a good time on that.
Out here,
keyboard.
You got to have a hangar in order to be really having a good time.
Right.
Leno has several of them, right?
Yeah.
You have yours here.
Yeah.
Lovitz.
A lot of guys.
Does John Lovitz have a hanger?
I don't think.
Seriously.
I think he tried to hang himself once.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a hanger.
Because when I heard that Lovitz had a hanger, I went insane.
He's got nothing to put in
a hanger.
What
could he put in a hanger?
I don't trust Lovitz.
Nothing.
I really don't.
I don't think
he's insane.
He thinks
really
he's the grand thespian. You know?
Yeah, no.
Big deal. And he's got a hanger? I went around for a week saying Lovitz has a hanger. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't get it out of my...
Well,
Lovitz
has
a hanger.
You know what bothers me? I know it bothers you that people that are less accomplished than yourself have hangers.
Yeah.
It bothers me when people that don't make any money have boats, and I don't have a boat.
Who has a boat?
Every guy who drives me has a boat.
I know.
Every guy who drives a town car, especially if you're in Florida, will explain to you at some point between the airport and the... Red Roof Hotel.
Yeah,
I got my boat. I got a dry dock right now. And I'm always thinking, I can't afford a boat. You're driving me.
Right, and you got
Why
a boat.
Why do you have a boat?
Yeah.
I know it's probably a dinghy with a hole in it, but I just don't like the idea of having a boat.
Adam, you
don't
need a boat. You don't need a boat. You know why? You have a hanger.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a hanger, you don't need a boat.
I could dry dock the boat during the winter in the hanger, though,
In
Paul.
The hanger. You know who has a hanger? Lovitz. I can't believe it.
I want to go over your schedule. I want to know how it works for you. Do you live in the city?
I'm going to say something that Sammy Davis said to a guest of his on his show back in the 70s. Well, my schedule is almost as nutty as your own, man. And I mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't live in the city. I live about an hour outside the city, although I have an apartment in the city.
And what time do you need to be
work? Not till later. I could tinker if I wanted in my hangar.
You're right.
I am on the phone. I learn what's going to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
After the morning meeting, my assistant goes at 11, and then he reports to me what's happening.
We have a couple coffees, by the way.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, when I did the show the first time did the show, that's the time you remember. The first time I did the show...
That was the first, eh? Second time, no recollection.
That's fine.
But anyway...
Probably about three, 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
But the first time I did the show, I came out and you played I'm a Man, but Spencer Davis.
Because
of the Man Show.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of thing you have to work
love,
out
love
in advance?
Theme I would have done for you if you had been on Love Line.
Is that exciting
and new? No, that's Love Boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to think about it. I don't worry too much about it until I get there. If somebody's telling me that Adam Carolla is going to be on later, I might say, you know, well, podcast, you know, forecast, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably play It's Raining Men because I get a royalty for that.
Yeah.
I start to think about it, but like in this case, if I don't have anything, then I go in and I have about a 15-minute rehearsal at 2:45 with the band.
Mm-hmm.
And we figure out what we're going to play. And then I say, Adam Carolla, anybody got anything? And then if somebody comes up with something funny, I'll say, yeah, I like that. Let's do that.
Let's do Only Women Bleed by Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Is
that what you would like next time?
Yeah, next time.
Only Women Bleed.
That's a weird song.
Yeah.
But especially from Alice Cooper.
One time, this isn't in the book, but the closest I ever got to real rock and roll was, it was like in about 1972, and I was in Godspell, just starting it in Toronto, and a guy said to me, would you do a gig and play grand piano under a chandelier, cocktail versions of Alice Cooper's songs, while they get gold records presented to them. They used to record in Toronto. That's why they were up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and I learned, you know, Billion Dollar Babies and Frontier and Toucher style.
Mm-hmm.
Billion Dollar Babies.
School's Out.
Yeah, School's Out. Exactly. That was the way they were getting a gold record for that. Well, so I could play Only Women Bleed.
So did you, I mean, like I said, it seems like you have the greatest gig on the planet.
Yeah, but I roll in later on in the day. I have a 15-minute rehearsal. We go on the air.
Did you ever want to just be in Yes? You know what I mean? I'm trying to think of some other keyboard sort of driven
I might have,
band.
I don't know if I would have been in Yes, but yes, starting out, I thought being in a band, that's the way to go. But I didn't sing and I didn't write. You know, I wrote Training Man. It's the only song I ever wrote. And I got involved in theater just on this fluke.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the auditions for the Toronto Company of Godspell, accompanying a girlfriend of mine who sang a song from the show. Mm-hmm. And I got hired because the guy, Steve Schwartz, who had written it, liked the way I played. And then there I was in theater. And mm-hmm. I started hanging out with all of these people that we mentioned, Dave Thomas and his crew. And I just thought, these are the funniest people. This is fun.
Yeah.
And I just went where the laughs were, really. I ended up going where the laughs were.
Not only are you getting paid to sort of do, I'm guessing, what you love, but you get to sort of be a part of history. I mean, you get to stand. It's like standing next to the signing of the Declaration of Independence. I know this is a little hyperbole, people, but if you're a big Letterman fan, all the great moments mm-hmm. that have happened over the years.
I was there when tried to kick him in the head. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Crispin Glover, yeah.
Yeah. You're there with Drew Barrymore, pulled up her top. I saw
that from the side.
Yeah, you got side boobs?
That was the angle mm-hmm. to see it from. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, it's terrific.
Every big event. Now,
when the wrestler kicked Andy Kaufman, spilt.
Right.
I was there.
Yeah, I mean, all the crazy throwing the stuff off the buildings.
It has been fun. And then before that, I was there at the beginning of Saturday Night Live, too. I am a sort of a Zelig mm-hmm. type of character. You can Photoshop me in. And there I was with Chevy Chase and Gilda Radner and John Belushi and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that must have been just some crazy drug-fueled, everyone out of their mind period of American history. I mean, Manhattan.
But a creative time.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying
first,
it wasn't.
You know, comedy, live comedy on by kids, you know, by kids for kids.
And that was Paul Schaefer in 2009 hanging out with Adam during the first year of the podcast. Love when he comes on. And Gio, I think you said that it was the first podcast that he's done, maybe the last.
I'm not sure if he's ever been on anybody else's show, although he may have been on like Gilbert Gottfried show or somebody who has that kind of a show that's focused on kind of like old-timey showbiz. But on this episode, Paul Schaefer declares it's his first ever podcast appearance, and he even remembers Adam's first appearance on Letterman when he told everybody in his life that said he was never going anywhere to F off, and he like remembers it in detail. It was pretty impressive. So make sure to check out tomorrow's second half to hear this full show.
Yeah, and we played that Letterman clip not too long ago on The Carolla Show. All right, before we get going with the next clip, let me tell you guys about Tommy John, all right? Because it's time to treat yourself. Whether you're getting the 75-inch TV over the 50, get the ribeye instead of the sirloin, upgrade yourself to business from coach. There are times when paying a little more is worth it. Also, that applies to Tommy John versus the stretched-out sadness in your drawers that you call underwear. Okay, we love Tommy John here. When you're wearing it, you're that much more comfortable, and you do everything better. Gio loves this stuff.
I'm obsessed with it. It's the only stuff I'll buy. I'm about to do another big order and like replace some even more of my underwear and loungewear. The lounge pants are incredible. Adam Kroll was talking about it for years, and it took me years to finally pull the trigger. I should have done it so much sooner.
Yeah, the lounge pants that I have, my favorite pair of pants that I own.
Agreed.
And they got that no wedgie guarantee, which is nice. All right, well, make sure you check out Tommy John. Whether it's for you or a friend, we got a great deal for you. Gia's going to tell you all about it.
Returns and exchanges are free, and right now get 15% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/classics. That's 15% off Tommy John underwear and loungewear at TommyJohn.com/classics. TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details.
All right, now let's get to another clip. This one from 2013. What do we got?
This is Adam Kroll Show 1048. We've played the full interview with the guests, Chad Colchin, and then Tyler Ballier, who was on earlier in the show. But we're not playing that now. It's just Allison's news, a couple of select stories. Chad's there chiming in. This is from April of 2013. Check out Allison's news.
All right, Allison Rosen, let's do a little news, baby girl.
The news with Allison Rosen. She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison, Allison.
CBS says they do not regret their decision to ban replays of Kevin Ware's injury.
Oh, I forgot to talk about that.
No.
I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen.
Well, you knew what was going to happen.
Well, I knew after I bitterly protested yesterday.
Oh, that happened to me too. Are we talking about the same thing where someone sent it to you and you clicked on it by mistake? Thanks, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. But now I'm sure ours were personalized differently.
Yeah, mine just said cute alert.
Mine said, check out my Mura, which is a
talked about on the show. You're familiar
with
it, right?
My mom sent me the video clip, and it said, look at this guy's fucking leg. That was that my subject.
At least that's honest. At least that's honest.
Fine. That's fine.
Was it the same person, I wonder, who did it to us?
I don't know, but
I got it, too. I'm going to look and see what mine said.
I made the announcement.
Scalp polish here.
I don't want to see a man getting compound fracture.
It's terrible.
I don't.
Oh, fuck.
I tried to take a fucking nap today. My teeth and my shins were hurting while I was trying to nap. So I was like, I don't want to see it. And I knew the more I said I didn't want to see it, someone would tweet me a picture. And I knew it would be under check out these tits or something like that. This was check out my Lamborghini Mura, which is the car you've seen parked there. Of course, how can you not? Like, what if you don't? You know what? Final ear. I need a guy. I got a guy who breaks in my shoes now. I got a guy who walks my dog, but I combine the two because I'm downsizing.
That makes sense. It's a good plan.
Yeah.
Let him break in my Italian. The Bruno Mollies can be broken in while they're walking Molly. You know what I'm saying? I need a link clicker for Twitter because people are showing me some weird stuff that I cannot unsee.
Right.
And not since the late, great Bob Schimmel showed me the two girls in a cup. Have I been this moved in a negative way?
I know. It is really, really terrible.
It's terrible.
There was one injury. I don't know if your guys are into baseball. And I think it was in the mid-90s. Moises Alou was just rounding first base. Planted his leg just to go back to the
bat. Don't put anything on the screen.
Nothing. And the bone comes out of his calf. Yeah.
Puppies up there.
Yeah. So gross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's terrible.
All right, so you're sad.
Cute alert. And here's the thing. I don't clip.
Was it cute?
But I like the cute alert guy. You're like, oh, shit, I got to check that out.
Well, okay, people send me cute stuff often because I enjoy it. But here's the thing. I don't click 100% of the, like, oh, you got to check out. Because oftentimes it'll be the same ducklings in a bathroom sink picture.
Sure.
Right.
You know, I get that one a lot. Or like, look, a little pig wearing boots.
Right. All right.
Which is super cute. But I made the mistake of clicking this one.
Well, you what people do is they send me, I get the, you know, dig this ace, and it's somebody, and they have the bottle like Mangria planted in the snow, and them and their wife are, you know, out in Vermont, they're holding the glass up, and it's like, right. I want to say thanks, cool, appreciate it, you know. Now, you people will ruin me.
Yeah.
I'll become bitter and not answer, and I'll be too scared to look at any of this stuff.
I'll look at everything.
Have you seen the Vern Troyer sex tape? Because that was my two girls, one cup. I accidentally walked into a room where they were playing it, and now I can't unsee that. Anyway, back to the news, though. CBS says, so CBS has a policy. Mm-hmm. They're not going to replay it. They did two quick replays on Sunday from a wide enough distance for viewers to see the leg land awkwardly, but not any blood or bone, and it hasn't been shown since on CBS.
Right. Teeth hurting.
But I guess it's weird to me, though, that they have to say we don't regret it. Like, where's the pushback coming from? I guess it's just that online there have been so many views of it that it's like that's something that people want to see.
Okay. But there's the internet. I mean, can't they just go on the internet?
Yeah, they can.
Now they can. All right.
You want to move on? Something happier?
Suicide?
I
don't know. Listen, I don't know how people are wired. I'm hoping that your pain level for your fellow citizen of this planet is good. I mean, I it's healthy. Like, if you're watching somebody go through an excruciating experience and feeling nothing, then there's going to be a body count at some point. Yeah, you're millennial. I just mean, here's the thing. We have a basically a spectrum of human beings of I could never do anything that would harm another human being or cause any pain to them or their family. And then we have the I love killing showgirls and I love setting bums on fire. Like, it's just, and then there's everything in between. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of, whenever you see those Friday night, you know, 48 hours or something, it's like the husband hired a guy for $4,300 to kill his wife. Like, there's a lot. What was he doing before that? Was he just out looking for other gigs? And someone said, I'll give you almost $5,000 to kill my wife. And you're like, I mean, where's you negotiate?
What was the opening bid? $4,000?
Exactly. Yeah, $4,300 is definitely the end of a negotiation.
I'll give you $3,500 to snuff my 28-year-old pregnant wife out. I don't kill pregnant women for a penny under $5,000.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I don't know how this works, but there evidently there's an alarming number of people who, for what you consider a very moderate amount, would just go kill a stranger.
Yeah, that's pretty horrifying.
The whole Ray Carruth thing, which is the most insane thing in the planet, the Panthers wide out who had his pregnant gal pal, sort of baby's mom, baby mom, or baby-to-be mama, killed, just sort of did a thing where he found a guy, paid him $5,000, and the guy was kind of like, all right, so how do we work this? Oh, we go out on a road at night. I'll stop the car. She'll be following me. She'll stop the car. Then you pull up behind her and kind of box her in, and then you just go ahead and open a clip. Just open up. Just use a 9mm into this pregnant woman, and then you kill her, and then we'll head off.
Do you have more respect?
Did I say Ray Carruth? What'd I say?
You just said Panthers player. I was just trying to help.
Did I say the word Ray Carruth?
Sorry, yes. But my headphones are off.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay. You confused me, Gary.
My mistake, sorry.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Do you have more respect for the person who kills their spouse with their own hands or hires someone?
Own hands. I'm a kind of guy who likes wearing a collar but rolling up his sleeves. You know what
style.
I mean? Yeah. Go OJ. Right. Or don't go at all.
Well, speaking of ridiculous sums of money, ridiculously small sums
Hold
of
on
money.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
What was I complaining about? Oh, yeah. People and what they'll do. Yeah. I think the people who enjoy or at least have a sort of morbid curiosity about other people and their pain are more easily enticed to cause pain.
It strikes me as sort of sociopathic.
It's a golden
Those
rule.
Those are the creepiest fuckers to me.
Yeah.
But there's a material golden rule, which is, well, how would you like it if somebody stole your wallet or your purse or your briefcase or your cell phone? There's that. And then there's a physical golden rule, which is, how would you like it if your tibia popped through the top of your tennis shoe? You know what I mean? You wouldn't. So you wouldn't like it if, but there's a physical, like, how would you like it if you were killed?
Yeah.
Probably not. And then, thus, you would not like to kill somebody else. So there's a weird, you have to be kind of cool with other people in order to commit it yourself, I'm assuming, anyway.
To me, the effort of murder just seems to be more
burner.
Than it's ever worth.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
How far into the maybe I'll murder someone thought train have you gone?
Zero steps taken. I don't know. It's never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
Later. I don't know.
I don't think about it much.
After a few more years in network TV.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Adam, and please take this. Well, take it how you want. But your dislike of viscera or of seeing anyone hurt, I don't know that most people would say, oh, yeah, Adam Carolla, he's an empath.
Empathic, very empathic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yet, do you think that's what that is?
I was talking on stage with Dr. Drew about this the other night in Salt Lake City, which is I was taught. I wasn't taught anything growing up, but I was the only thing I was taught was, what about the other guy? What about the other guy? What would they say? How would they feel? How would they feel? So I calibrated myself, because people say to me, what happens when you have these friends you don't talk to ever again, or this person or this relationship or this whatever, and you never talk to them again, or things go bad and what have you? And I said, listen, I'll pass this along to you people. Calibrate yourself to be fair. To be fair, in order to calibrate yourself, you have to remove yourself from the equation. You have to pull yourself and your own feelings and your own wishes and desires to either make more money or do whatever. Get it out of the equation and go, what is fair? Meaning, I will cut this sandwich in half and I will let you pick which piece you choose to eat. That's what we'll do. Or you can cut it and I'll pick it. But either way, I'm going to try to remove me and how hungry I am from this equation and keep it fair. So what I did in life is I chose to calibrate myself so that if I ever say I really like this person and I really want to be in business with this person, or I want to marry this person, or I want to start a family with this person, or I want to hug this person, that'll be good. I'll be hugging the right person. Or I never want to talk to this person again. I'll be right in both instances because I'm calibrated. And not only am I calibrated, I said calibrate yourself to even and then click one. Do one click back for the other person.
Hmm.
Meaning, now I know I'm safe.
Right.
I've calibrated this to be fair to you, and then I've gone one click back toward or your direction, against my direction, and now I know that all decisions I make, and by the way, this doesn't mean that every single thing you think of or whatever, there's stuff that gets past you, there's stuff you ignore on occasion and you're not aware of or whatever you, but when you make decisions that are important, that you are correctly calibrated, almost like anything, a radar gun, a breathalyzer, like a ruler, anything that has calibrated to get a correct reading on it. Once you know your reading is correct and then clicked back one notch for fairness for the other person, you're free to do anything you want. And I have a thing where I feel other people, like I understand what they're thinking, and I try to be empathic. I'm not an emotional person. I'm not a hugger, and I'm not a kisser, but I am a think about what you're asking the person to do or how they would feel if the shoe was on the other foot, so to speak. And thus, when the shoe is through, when the bone is through the shoe
right.
and through the foot, I feel it in my leg.
Right.
And I hate it.
Plus one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so a mom was arrested. This is going back to the sums of money. A mom was arrested for trying to sell her kids on Facebook.
Quickly, let me say this.
Okay.
Once you're calibrated and you're calibrated correctly, you're now free to tell people to fuck off
right.
all the time. It's not just, now you're Mr. Nice Guy. No,
now you're an asshole.
Whatever you are, you're fair. And thus, when I was getting screamed at by the producer for sending it straight to the network who loved the script, I was free to tell that guy to fuck off because they loved the script and we busted our ass working all weekend to implement every note they wanted.
See, I think I just need, or maybe everyone who's more like me, needs to just trust their own calibration if they're properly calibrated, because I'm someone who every wind comes by and I have to recalibrate.
Calibrate yourself and then trust it. But remember, when you're calibrating yourself, you have to remove yourself from the calibration process. Or we're sitting at the airport in Vegas and the drunken guy wants to know what percentage me and Drew are assholes. What percentage of the time we're assholes? And I tell him to fuck off. I'm fine. I'm
100%.
Fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
He brought him upon himself.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem. So Misty Van Horn from Oklahoma.
There has never been a less hot chick who sounded hotter than Misty Van Horn.
It's a porn name.
Yes.
It really is.
It's too porny to be a porn name.
Yeah.
It's too on the nose to be a porn name. Too on
the machine. So she was trying to sell her 2-year-old and her 10-month-old on Facebook.
For how much?
Yeah.
The toddler was going for $1,000, but both of them were $4,000.
Oh, it's a very good deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Well, I mean, what would the 2-year-old have gone for on its own? Because obviously there's some kind of bargain if you bundle.
It was only a package deal? The 2-year-old was never...
No. Yeah, no, she never... The 2-year-old was not sold separately.
Well, I would say she looks like a meth head except for the 86 pounds. She's overweight.
She's a Sooner fan.
Yep.
Sure, the University of Oklahoma is thrilled to have her sweater so prominently displayed.
I'm just saying, shouldn't kids go for more?
It
seems like really low.
Considering they're our future, and as I always say, robots are our future. But for now, kids are our future. You'd think they go for more. But I don't think her kids would go for more.
That's
right. You got to consider.
Yeah. Like if you're doing one of those things where people are donating eggs, except for they're selling them for $10,000 I don't know why we, I know we call it donation, so we, yeah. it makes it easier to live with the process of harvesting someone else's egg
yeah.
to use for your kid.
But selling.
Yeah. It's the definition of selling. It is, I'm going to stimulate this thing. I'm going. You're going to be able to harvest some eggs, and I will do it for the price of $10,000. That is the op. You can go look up donation.
<That's>
I
right.
don't think there's an exchange of currency involved with donation, no. but we have that. Her eggs would go for less than the eggs at a Denny's would go for. So this kid's probably and by the way, she could have married someone who's like a Harvard faculty member, so maybe they upped it a little bit, but I'm guessing not.
Calibrated to zero.
Yeah. That's remove right. yourself from the situation.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
Also,
but when they do this, do they mean it? Or are they just kind of going, I'm a fucking chunky and I need some help?
Yeah, was she serious about this or was it some kind of joke thing she put on Facebook? Like, I'm
no,
selling
I think,
my kids.
I mean, she was arrested. I think she was serious. The woman Jesus that she Christ. was trying to sell her kids to contacted the police.
Oh, for some reason in my head, I just thought it was an open Facebook post like, hey, everybody,
like a status
I got two
update.
Kids for sale. Anybody? No. But no, I see what you're saying now. She was just communicating with a potential buyer through Facebook.
Mm.
Yeah, although I don't know if she had initially done some kind of status update about it.
I put my daughter on eBay, but the reserve wasn't met. No. So that doesn't make me a bad so guy, sad. Does it?
Oh. Sorry. Mm. This is important.
Go ahead, Horseshack.
She wanted the money to bail her boyfriend out of jail.
Oh, okay. I know. So that's bad sperm and egg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely
not a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was being altruistic.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if this is her mugshot. Mugshots have other things on them, right? But it's got me thinking, have you guys ever had a mugshot? And why wouldn't you smile? I mean, no matter what's going on, because wouldn't that just be the impulse when someone's taking a photo?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're as photogenic as me, I would.
I don't know if they give you the proper, you know, say cheese or whiskey.
They do.
I
myself have never had a mugshot, but one of my best friends of all time, an old childhood friend, I'm from Texas, as is he. He got arrested for a DUI when he was probably, I'm guessing, 21, 22. Mm-hmm. And now there's a thing on the internet where you can just search public records and you can see his mugshot, which is the funniest fucking picture I have ever seen in my life.
Well, now we need to know his name.
Giant smile. I'll tell you off the air. I'm not going to put his shit out on, in public. But giant smile, holding his little card. It's hilarious.
Oh,
so,
wait.
Yeah,
because the majority of them are done when people are drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
He certainly looks drunk in it. But yeah, this is not a good mugshot. She looks unenthused.
Not a flattering mugshot. But again, I don't feel like they light these things correctly. I would insist on a fan.
That's the lighting.
Yes.
Not the 10
I would
fucking
want a stylist. I want to know who's shooting it.
You want to see more of her face?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I would do that Charlie's Angels beginning thing with Jacqueline Smith where I turned around and did the hat sideways and did the thing. Like, I'm going to turn into my mugshot. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. Right. For movement, so you don't get the dead eye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
All right.
Okay. So, the TV doctor on France's version of Survivor. Survivor is in a whole bunch of different countries.
Right.
One of them being France. Mm-hmm. And the doctor on the show who oversees the contestants and is also on air, who checks them out.
On air in the French version.
But he's not a contestant.
No, he's not.
Okay.
But he committed suicide after a contestant died.
Wow.
On his watch?
Yes.
At his hand. Malpractice style. Is that what you're saying?
I bet he fell in love with her.
I think it was a guy.
Yeah, but still. Well, look at this dude.
Oh.
Could have fallen in love with
that,
him.
He is such a TV doctor. A French TV doctor.
Yeah.
It was a guy? You're saying? I'm going closeted gay on this one.
All right.
Okay. So a contestant on Survivor.
See if this guy's gay or straight.
A man's dead.
We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm.
Two men are dead.
That's right.
That's a good point.
I got two bodies.
Gerald Babin, or as I imagine, Gerald Babin.
Mm-hmm.
he died on the first day of the show's filming because he said to the doctor that he had cramps, and the doctor said, you know, it's no big deal.
You're a man.
Right.
Yeah. And then he later died of a heart attack.
Jesus Christ. On day one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
All right. And then the doctor killed himself.
Yes, because he left a note. Here's part of it.
Oh. I'm guessing he wasn't in love with the elderly, overweight guy who had the heart attack.
Well, if so, he didn't put it in any sort of P.S. in his note.
Yeah, but still.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, oh, there's...
Wait a minute.
This changes everything. Maybe now, he wasn't level.
Okay. Hold on. Yeah. We just found...
We're getting a much better picture here.
It was my fault for ever questioning myself.
You mean wondering if he was straight?
I just wondering if I was wrong.
Don't blame yourself.
Now,
buddy.
Well, when you say a guy has a heart attack and he's having cramps, you picture sort of middle-aged guy who's not taking care of himself, who's got an extra gut on him, and he's straining himself too much, and now he has a heart attack. I'm looking at a beautiful gay man,
right,
which I'm assuming, like the third member of Milli Vanilli. on the right of the screen.
Vanilli.
And on the left, I'm looking at a slightly gayer picture of the same doctor. So now things are at least let everyone be gay.
I agree.
The guy on the right's gay. Well, first off, let me say this, fellas, with all the fucking eyeliner and all the plucking and all the primping and all the earrings, we can't tell if you're gay anymore. We don't know who's gay because we're all sucking cock now. Every guy who's not a merchant marine and doesn't have a shitty beard is officially gay. Like, it used to be, well, that guy's got an earring in his right ear, so he's gay.
That,
and that guy's got an earring in his left ear, so he's probably curious and Greco-active.
But, and he has this car.
Now it's like Harrison Ford has an earring, you know?
Right.
Is he gay? Like, what's going on? And now there's a bunch of guys with two earrings.
That's right.
If you had, when I was growing up, if you had two earrings, you were gay. It was,
right,
it was super easy math to do. And if you were that primped, like you dyed your hair, you frosted your tips, you had two earrings, you're wearing the big sunglasses, the Gucci sunglasses or something, then you were gay.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I remember, and I don't know if it was just because I was a kid or the public wasn't the way it is now, or maybe I was latently homosexual, but I remember seeing like Wham come on MTV and just as a kid being like, huh, those guys are just musicians. Like,
oh,
that's all I thought.
Oh,
like, they're clearly not gay. They're wearing short shorts and, like, neon pink sweatshirts with a V cut in the neck and shit. And I'm just like, as a kid going like, oh, they're just weird.
It also was the fashion of the time a little bit, though.
No, but let me shit on your 80s. Point.
Okay.
And this isn't going to – this is pterodactyl shit, and you're driving a smart car. This is going
to
take –
I feel like I need to pull over.
Yeah, no, pull over because you're not going to be able to see.
Maybe, should I get out of the car and just let you shit on the car?
No, do not get out of the car.
Stay in the car.
Uh-oh.
All right, but this is going to engulf the whole car, the village people, because that was not a like dress of the time because there was all different dresses,
right?
And we were like, this dude's must pull down tail, man.
Yeah,
that fucking guy with the handlebar mustache and the chaps and the leather vest with no shirt. I mean, those guys on tour
must dig that so
fucking
much.
Dig that. Chicks are all dancing. They're doing the YMCA dance.
Yep.
I mean, this fucking guy's probably hitting everything that's not nailed down on the road, man.
God, he sings about being a macho man.
Oh, in the Navy.
Working out all the time.
Navy. He's fucking working
he's
out.
Built.
He's built. Oh, this fucking guy's tapping everything, man. And we didn't even know what gay was. Like, I was, you know, 10 or 11, but everyone's older brother wasn't like, hey, dude, are you nuts? Those guys are gay. They were like, fuck, I'd love to be the six village person. Let's go
right,
out and bang groupies, man.
So that's how I remember it, too.
With no familiarity. And people think, like, they know, oh, the village people. Like, oh, you had the cop and you had the construction worker. One guy was just a leather homo.
That's right.
That was his outfit. Was I suck cock outfit? That was his outfit. It's like handlebar mustache, chaps, weird, like on the waterfront biker cap, and or wild ones.
He was a half dressed biker.
Yeah,
but he was gay. Like he was wearing a gay out. He was wearing an outfit of a gay superhero.
Yeah,
cock jug man. Like, he was wearing an... It was like, he was just dressed as a gay guy. Then like, that guy's a funeral director. You know, it was just gay.
And that begs the question, when they were forming the village people, there had to be some kind of a meeting where they all assigned, I'll be the construction worker, I'll be the Indian chief, and they just ran out of shit, probably.
Right.
And they were like, why don't you just wear what you wear on the weekends?
Right.
And that was
that had
to be that guy.
That was him. And there's nothing gay. But now I got to know, because now I got to know about the contestant, I got to know about the other guy. I don't know why. At least I have to be right on my gay thing.
Well,
I think it's clear. I think that picture.
Well, so here's part of his note. It doesn't indicate anything gay or straight, but these last few days, my name has been smeared in the media. Unjust accusations and assumptions were uttered against me. Having to rebuild this destroyed reputation seems unbearable to me, so this is my only possible choice.
What were the unjust accusations? That he was gay?
that he killed.
You know, yeah, that his medical reputation.
Obviously, yeah.
And then he said that in his suicide note that his last wish was to be cremated in Cambodia so that his body never had to return to France. So dramatic.
There are many other countries. Wow. Oh, Cambodia is where Survivor
they're,
was.
Yeah,
I get
where
it
they're
now.
Filming this.
Oh, is that where it is? Yeah.
I was under the impression he was like, fly me to Cambodia, cremate me there.
Yeah. Well, a couple things. This is sad, obviously. I don't know if we can find it. Now, can you find out if the guy was married, if he left a wife and kids behind? Shouldn't we? Let's feel like we could find out.
His name is Dr. Terry, but it's T-H-I-E-R-R-Y Costa. Mm-hmm. C-O-S-T-A.
All right. Should we bring this home, Allison Rosen?
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunts.
Nobody downstage is Mr. Carolla.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Chad Colgin, Allison Rosen, and Bald Brian saying mahalo. I love killing showgirls, and I love setting bums on fire.
That clip from 2013, Allison's news with Chad Colgin sitting in.
Some very funny exchanges in that news segment. I was going back through them. I'm like, it'd be funny just to play this.
Yeah,
so that's what we did.
Hey, look, it really is that great of a show. We can just say, hey, it'd be funny to play this clip. And it still holds up. I like, as I always say, it's nice hearing what life was like back then and what was in the news back then, too.
Yeah, you forget so much. It's like, no, I remember pretty much all the news stories the last 5 years. No, you don't.
Yeah, you really don't. All right, we have one more clip for everybody. And this is from 2014 featuring Neil Brennan.
Adam Carolla Show 1395, Neil making his second appearance. This is from August of 2014, along with Allison and Brian. It's a show medley, a little bit of the opening, a call from a listener, and Neil's interview. Check it out.
Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
Eat more pussy.
At Andy the Writer wanted that. He referred to Allison as Queen Drop, with a hashtag top drop, of course.
Irvine Improv, coming up Thursday, 8 p.m., DAG, up on stage in Irvine. They normally don't allow black folk in Irvine, but we got a temporary pass for DAG, and he's going to be in Orange County. Mm-hmm. They had to clear out another black family to essentially make room.
Yeah, exchange. Like water displacement kind of thing.
It's quotas, but in a different way. Either way.
This time worked for us.
DAG will be there, and then he'll be, you know, escorted. Yeah, into a neighboring community.
Right.
Perhaps Long Beach or something more suitable for him. But that is Irvine, and that is a Thursday, and that is DAG, and you never want to miss that. And speaking of that, us, Treasure Island, coming up on the 29th, Rick from Pawn Stars and George Wallace. Two guys with huge heads.
Good call.
And a good guy. Ah.
Between those two and me, there's going to be a lot of head on that stage.
It's going to be good. Remind me to get a picture with the three. Because you know those little douches and cunts with the sunken cheeks and the clefts in the chin? Uh-huh. And you know those guys with the super angular, like sharp faces where they just they never have the double chin or the big jowls or the big puffy cheeks or
fucking
anything.
Ethan
like Hawk. I fucking hate those. I hate that. It's that tight. That sharp, it's like it's their face looks like a hawk.
Yep.
That person, when you take a picture with that person, you just look like the third member of the Insane Clown Posse next to that person. But if you can get
it's like they were born just for photos.
Yes, they just look good all the time.
All the angles.
Actually, my wife is that way. She has that kind of face where it's like the chin with the little cleft, and it's never, you never have that weird double chin angle or that side where it's, oh, it's all bloated and everything. Just that.
Right. She doesn't have to instruct anyone how to take a photo of her.
Right. She doesn't do the selfie where she holds her arm over her head, actually it gets behind her. Actually goes, oh, I see a lot of your scalp on this one. Like, it's actually higher than 12 o'clock, actually moving it behind your head, dislocating your shoulder. Yeah, I know. Do you have some scaffolding? I want to take a selfie. But
Michael Fassbender could put on 75 pounds and still have an angular face.
I hate I hate it because if I put on...
Tom Hiddleston.
If I put on 10 pounds, 8 will be in my face, which I can't stand. And that's why when I meet people in person, I go, oh, you lost so much weight. And I go, what? Oh, I only know you from O'Reilly. And it's like, yeah, well, that's my whole face on taking up the whole fucking screen. But I figure if I can get Rick from Pawn Stars and George Wallace next to me, that's going to be my Christmas card.
Then you'll look like one of those angular, clefty douches.
Yeah.
Your new headshot. They put it up outside your running off.
That'll be my new headshot. People will be like, why is Rick from Pawn Stars and George Wallace in this?
And I go, Allison and Brian look so different.
All right. I need to see Rick from Pawn Stars and George Wallace. All right. Pawn Star, George Wallace. I got behind this guy today. The license plate frame that said, you're following the world's greatest dad. And I just thought...
It's a lot of pressure.
Again, I have that... First mode is I'm pissed. The second mode is I'm envious. I wish I could be that. You know, we talk about that all the time. Yeah, I could see myself in between those two guys with my waifish.
you're a Kate Moss.
Yeah, angel fish head.
Pixie-ish.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, do you think
first
this
I get
guy-
angry? I get angry, and then I go, "Oh no, his kids, his kids,
yeah,
his kids,
defense.
His kids went to Knott's Berry Farm, and they had that made for him." But I was like, "It wouldn't go on." I feel the same way with bracelets. I see a lot of dudes wearing bracelets, and I'm like, "Why are you wearing a bracelet?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, my daughter or whoever." All right. What if your daughter brought home a orange freeway pylon filled with semen? Would you just put it on your head and walk around?
Does it say world's greatest dad? Or is it just the pylon?
I'm just saying, like, if Natalia gives me a bracelet, I will say thank you very much. I will put this on my desk and I will worship it from my office chair. But daddy doesn't wear bracelets, so daddy's not going out of the house. And world's greatest dad, that's going up in the garage. I'm screwing that onto the wall right above daddy's workbench so I can see it. But when I put it on the car, I can't see it.
That's what you tell your kids?
My kids aren't going to do shit for me.
But
I'm saying.
They did, yeah.
If
I would
they were
say.
To.
The, yeah, so first is he put this on himself. That means he should be executed. Second scenario is, oh no, kids got it for him, and thus he put it on, but still not a viable excuse for me. Yes or no?
Yes. Neither of those are viable excuses. What kind of car was it?
It was so funny. It's like saying to a chick with a D-rack, you know, how did her cuticles look poking through her sandals? Like, huh? I didn't even look down. I didn't. I just laser locked on.
On the boobs are this license plate frame.
Right. Yeah. You know, some Camry, whatever. Like nothing great for Taurus. You know, nothing old, nothing new, nothing expensive, nothing cheap. Just sort of down the middle. Lexus 300 or something that was 4 years old. But that was the frame. Would you put it on?
It depends on how old the kids are, I suppose. I mean, I love your excuse of let's put it up over the workbench so daddy can see it every day or whatever it is.
I smell smell the fine hand of the mother of the kids as part of this. I feel like kids don't go by this alone. Mm-hmm. She was part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she should be executed.
All right. Am I right and jealousy?
Maybe he legitimately won the award. Maybe he legitimately earned the award last year.
I'm just saying, first off, where are these guys' friends?
Saying your car looks douchey?
Yes. I mean, think about it. If that was me and Ray came walking up on it, or I came walking up on his pickup truck or whatever, something would have to be said. Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, even if the wife wanted it and so on and so forth, why is he doing it? And are we jealous of him or do we hate him? This is something that vexes me.
It's
that same person who, when somebody clearly steps in front of them in line and they go, excuse you. And I always think, douche. But then I think, oh, wow, I wish I was that way. I would just kind of go, they didn't see me.
Being the ability to not care that you seem cheesy?
The jealousy factor is my kids got me this. It's a license plate frame. I own a vehicle that has a license plate. Mm-hmm. I will put it on the back of my car. with no other thoughts.
With your dealer plate.
That's right. With no other thoughts other than my children presented this to me and I will put it on my car. I would look at it and go, oh, shit, I don't want people to think I'm a douche and I'm going to look like an idiot, but I am a pretty good dad, but still that's douchey. And now I don't want to hurt the kids' feelings. I don't want to tell them I don't want to be a douche, but I'll make up some bullshit. I would wrestle around with it for a long time. It would sit in the entry hall for a while. Mm-hmm. There'd be some, you know, the sort of hollow excuses about, daddy's got to go get his 4-in-1 screwdriver. He doesn't have it here, blah, blah, blah. But it would never go on the car and eventually get tossed. I'm just saying. Is there a freedom to just going, yeah, here's my kids made this for him. I'm just going to go put it on.
If you're not encumbered by the thoughts of, man, I don't want to have this on. I don't want people thinking or laughing or whatever.
What about the lame bracelet that your daughter makes you?
I've never worked in the office environment where the guy, because you see it on the commercial sometimes or the sitcom where the guy comes in wearing the ugly tie and it's obviously his kid got it for him. Does that actually happen or is that like a sitcom thing?
You see
the guy come in with the ugly tie.
I see way too many guys with bracelets in general. Just in general. I work with a lot of dudes who rock a bracelet.
You're not talking about like cancer bracelets. You're talking about like leather rock and roll bracelets.
I'm talking about everything from just plain old silver to the tied ones on there.
Wait, I just had a realization. My dad had a World's Greatest Dad mug, which we had gotten him, and it sat on his dresser, and it's where he put quarters and pennies and things. And I'm realizing now that's because he didn't want to be caught drinking coffee out of it. Well, that thing didn't even get into rotation.
He was Jewish, so he put quarters and pennies everywhere.
Things that are most important to him.
In the cat, in the chimney. He just never stopped placing quarters and pennies in places.
No, but really.
No,
yeah, I don't know if that's an upgrade or a downgrade.
Because unless he... If you presented him the mug and said, duct tape it to the roof of the Volvo, then we have a situation. But this is not leaving the house any way you look at it.
And as a guy, you know, the quarter mug or the change mug is an important mug in a guy's life. Yeah.
Okay.
I got to say this.
I mean, when I was younger, I had the quarter mug.
It's going to be weird.
My favorite mug.
Kids growing up with change being a zero factor in their life.
I mean, 100%.
It was such a huge factor. It was like, first off, oh, my God, the ice cream man is coming. Daddy, can I have a quarter? Then a long-winded discussion about how much a quarter actually was worth and how it could not just be thrown around and lightly taken and change must be returned if there's change on this snow cone or whatever you get. Like, change was a big deal. There was, not to mention everything was just sort of coin-op, vending machine. Everything was just, you know, whether it was soda or cigarettes or whatever it was at any part of your young adulthood or childhood, it was all about change. We would save up enough change, return a bunch of bottles, go to the movie theater and stuff like that. But then there was getting into like dad's change bucket and seeing how many quarters you could kind of skim off without him knowing it and see if you get like $6 worth of quarters in there. So my kids look at change as just round metal things that roll around and get caught places and have zero value.
You're right. And when they get older, it'll be... Aside from coin-op laundry and like apartments, when are they ever going to use change?
They won't even need it for that. They'll have some sort of retinal scan thing. The anal probe will go in.
There'll probably be an app.
Yeah, there'll be an app. When I walked around as a kid, and there was a quarter on the ground, I was like, woo, lucky day.
You fought over that quarter.
The rest of the day, you'd have good luck.
All right, so... We do agree that nobody would put your following the world's greatest dad license plate frame on their car, but we can also agree that I'm right to be insanely envious of this guy because he just does it.
Well, that guy is Matt Fondelier's dad.
Oh.
Doesn't he have a personalized license plate?
Never fear. Yeah, no, he has Underdog.
Oh, it's his mom. Well, these are very similar.
His dad has the Underdog. His dad has the Underdog plate and license plate.
The cartoon character?
I think he's a lawyer who fights for the Underdog. Here comes Matt.
He's a gay adult performer. You can do the math on what he does.
Here comes the Overdog.
Yes. Overdog, your dad does this. Okay, first off, let me say this. When I say, what the fuck is up? And the answer is, my dad likes Underdog.
Mm-hmm.
I could say that, look, I like chili fries, but I don't express that feeling on the back of my car. You know what I mean? I like interracial porn. Mm-hmm. But again, there's nothing on the back of my car that would let you know.
Is that true? I didn't even know that. You work next to someone
no,
for so long.
I'll take any porn. But I don't, you know. I may be prejudiced when it comes to social issues, mm-hmm. but when it comes to porn, I'm colorblind.
Equal opportunity.
Colorblind. It's all white.
You know, the EOE, Equal Opportunity Employer, EOM.
No, there's plenty of shit I like. It just, you couldn't tell by mm-hmm. being behind me on the 405. So saying your dad likes Underdog is not sufficient for me. But, again, insanely jealous in my own way and filled with blind rage.
But isn't the Underdog thing because he fights for the Underdog?
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. It's not only a show he likes, but it's also a metaphor.
For fighting for the Underdog.
That's right.
But he has the license plate frame and he has the license plate.
So he's layering his sense.
Yeah.
That's a picture of both my mom's plate and my dad's
no.
plate.
No. Oh.
So his dad's license plate frame says there's no need to fear. Underdog is here. That means that he got that personalized.
Yes.
And then his mom says Matt and Beck. That's sweet.
My sister's name. Yeah.
I would love to, can you please, I got to show this to my parents so I can confuse the fuck out of them. Just the Matt and Beck one.
The bar has been raised.
He'll be like, who are they? Those are their children.
But it's their car.
It's
their car.
It's their car, right?
Do you think it would be an amazing coincidence that the DMV sent them that plate?
Why would they put their children's, we don't have any pictures of you up in our house. Why would we have, there'd be complete... I think they might just collapse. Bring smelling salts. Oh, that.
I hate to poke holes in the Underdog thing, but isn't it calling himself the Underdog? You should be fighting for the Underdog.
Yeah.
I'm bringing logic to
it. Well, he's saying Underdog is here now, and that's Underdog. Anyway, I'm insanely jealous. I just am.
I never thought about it, but you're right to have some jealousy.
Thank you. All right. While Matt was on one of his many vacations with his parents. And which car did he take? The one with you and your sister's name on the one, or the one with the cartoon character?
That one goes
character?
Up and down the state for everyone to see.
I would take the other one, because then you get to look at the license plate with your name on it.
Ooh, I like that. Matt came across what'd you do, stop at a pizza joint?
Yeah, there's a place on the way up Mammoth called Pizza Factory. And we've always stopped there over the years as a kid. And we were there for lunch, and I noticed that they have an anti-bullying message.
Hold on. Can I just say this? Putting the word factory behind whatever store you choose to open, A, cop-out.
Okay.
And B, doesn't sound like you make the best version of a cannoli or a pizza or spaghetti or anything. And then you have, like, the old spaghetti factory, and like, well, this is a super dated place that churns out spaghetti. Like, doesn't everyone want a handcrafted beer? Mm-hmm. You don't want to go to the beer factory. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, let's get our prostitute at the pussy factory. Like, it doesn't... Pizza factory just seems like a big, nameless, faceless place. That
Pizza
just,
corporation.
They're interested in nothing but profits and just want to churn out a shitty product and have a high bottom line.
Pizza Inc.
Right. Big P.
But wait, does the Cheesecake Factory part of it balance out the genius of putting a dessert in your name so people are compelled to order the dessert when they go there?
And not only that, but just cheesecake in general. Mm. You know, like, you know, there's a garlic place called the Stinkin' Rose. Mm-hmm. It doesn't conjure up a bunch of imagery where you have to pull off by the, when you just hear cheesecake, you like it.
That's a good point.
And it's true, just putting pizza in your title.
That already
gets you about halfway home, but I'm just saying the factory feels A, like a cop out, and B, like it's not getting me anywhere in the quality department. But anyway,
they saw Matt walking up, like, we're gonna make our month.
Here we go. Oh shit, he's gonna use the bathroom, bolt it up. Sorry, guy.
It's all good. So there's a. I noticed right away there's a stamp on the napkin that says "No Bully Zone." And then there's a little paragraph on the back. Make a difference. Stop bullying. What to do? Step one, tell an adult. Step two, don't show the bully that you're sad or mad. Step three, comfort the person being bullied and offer friendship. Step
Hold
four,
on. You can't comfort. Let me tell you something. My buddy Ray, when he was in the ninth grade, did not need comforting. You had to swing a chair at him.
No, no, no. They're saying comfort the one being bullied.
Comfort the one being bullying? Yeah.
Can you imagine you comfort the bully? Hey,
I don't know.
Right, buddy. That's okay.
Comfort
big guy.
The bullying? Say it again.
Comfort the person being bullied and offer friendship.
Oh, okay. Comfort that person. But this is how not to be bullied.
It gets very confusing because at the very end of it, it says, resist peer pressure to bully. You can do it.
But I thought these were tips on how to... All right.
How to make a difference and to stop bullying. This is a confusing napkin.
I just want
to
eat pizza.
That's right.
In terms of educational napkins, this is not the best I've seen.
No. No, you just want to bully some pepperoni and get the fuck out of there, right? All right. Can I say this? I feel like... Here's what I don't like. We keep sending this message out, and now I hear a lot of adults saying they were bullied. Are you guys hearing that more now? Like, oh, I was bullied into making this decision. I was bullied. Like,
like telling stories from nowadays.
Yes.
Not telling stories from 25 years ago.
Yeah, not being bullied in junior high, but being bullied as 40-year-olds, or just using that term.
Huh.
You know what I mean? Like, my boss sort of bullied me into working over the weekend, or the car dealership kind of bullied me into going with the leather interior. Like just this notion of adults. Could you picture turn of the century guys saying they were bullied as adults? It doesn't make sense.
We need to go back in time and like review the worst examples of bullying in old pop culture. Like number one, 12 Angry Men. A lot of bullying in that movie.
Right.
Yeah, they're like arguing and they bully the guy into changing his boat.
Either way, the whole bullying thing has gotten completely out of hand. And it is a perfect example of what I speak about, which is we take these super easy layup talking points, and then we go, all right, I'm down, I'm all for it, and then we just move on. So and then everyone jumps on because everyone wants to be on the happy side of everything. So someone goes, you know, it's high time we sat down and had an honest discussion about race in this country, and then everyone goes, oh, yeah, absolutely, come on, hey, I'm against bullying, yeah. Yeah, everybody's against bullying. So then everyone just jumps on that, and then it just printed on the napkin, and nobody can ever
affect any change either.
Right,
it's just napkins.
That's right. All right, we got a few questions out there. Let's see, Changeling. There's a driving one. There's one about my dad on Loveline a million years ago. All right, Alex, 27, San Francisco. Last call.
Hey, yeah. So I was listening to an old classic Loveline. This is the one you guys had your dad on as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Bruce asked him if he thought his career in psychology kind of spurred on your getting into fixing teenagers' sex problems.
Mm-hmm.
And he made some kind of reference to that 40 years earlier he had been on the radio and he had a character that he did that he thought was similar to Mr. Bertram, that he had never told you about, and he thought it was interesting that you sort of picked it up by osmosis or something.
Well, it is interesting. Mr. Bertram's character I used to do on Crank Yankers and K-Rock. Also, I don't know why, somebody said to me that Mr. Bertram applying for the security job was like the funniest thing he's ever heard in his life. And I thought, yeah, I haven't heard that one in a long time. Maybe Gary will find that thing. My dad, here's how close we are. I never brought it up again with him either, and neither did he. So, but I do notice myself, and I don't know if you guys have you guys picked up anything that your parents do? When I call my dad... Once a year when I call my dad, he picks up the phone, and he's been doing this for the last 20 years. When he picks up the phone, he clears his throat right before he picks up the phone. So the phone rings, picks up, and you hear, hello? Yeah, hello? That's what you hear. And I found myself doing that recently, and I thought, uh-oh, I'll fucking kill myself. I got to kill myself. All right, something else that's funny. Neil Brennan. What was our last call? We done with him? That was good enough. There you go. Neil Brennan, in studio next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. At 7 on Animal Planet, don't watch Treehouse Masters Out on a Limb. A Scottish couple in Tulsa ask for a treetop cottage that honors their heritage.
so Pete adds floral-themed decorative railings. At 8 on Oxygen, be sure to miss Preachers of L.A. A community event is planned, and Bishop Ron clashes with Bishop Noel. And at 9 on Nick, definitely don't watch Full House. John Stamos has a dual role as Uncle Jesse and his Greek cousin, who may be family, but he's also a finagler. That's what not to watch on TV tonight. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, a lot of people tell you what to watch, but you can figure that shit out yourself. I'm going to warn you what not to
watch. Have any of these networks ever complained?
Not yet.
Yeah, is it a new segment?
Short.
Yeah, yeah.
No publicity is bad publicity.
I guess, Neil Brennan is in the studio, and TV show, The Approval Matrix, Mondays, 11 o'clock, on Sundance TV. And
so you got to look for it, guys. It's not going to come, and it's not on NBC. It's on a small network.
But some good gets. Jon Stewart, Amy Poehler, Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good. Now, those guys don't do a ton of stuff. Like, Jon Stewart don't...
No, he doesn't do anything.
Pop up on anything.
Basically, I've known him for 22 years, and the guy who EPs The Approval Matrix is used to EP his show, The Daily Show. So, he's like, you know, it was cool. It was great. We actually had a long kind of argument about Donald Sterling.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It airs on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of the mind that the ends justified the means. Like, I was kind of like, you can't record people in their house. Like, I'm glad he's out and he's a piece of shit and all that stuff, but, like, I feel like whenever Donald Sterling appeals, I agree with him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, all of his appeals are like, yeah, you can't legally take it because some prostitute recorded you in your house.
Yeah.
It's just this odd thing. And everyone's like, well, yeah, now we get... It's like, no, that's not really how the system works, as far as I know.
I agree with you in that. I basically said, I don't want to police people that have bad thoughts or bad feelings.
Yes.
Like, I want to... Whether you want to own a basketball team or a cement company, you can be an asshole.
Yeah.
Now, what you can't do is go, I'm not going to hire any blacks or Jews or Hispanics to work in my office or for my cement company or whatever it is. But if you just want to be a douche.
Yeah. Because he's actually been better than most about hiring black GMs. He and to Donald Sterling's defense, I never thought I'd say that. He didn't want to pay J.J. Redick, a white player, as much as the black players.
Well,
which is like, all right, at least he's consistent.
Doc Rivers is coach.
Yeah,
is the
Doc Rivers is coach.
Highest paid black coach and the second highest paid coach in the league. Like,
yes.
So what I basically said is this country was founded on you coming over here and being a douchebag. As long as that douche didn't spread onto other people in a negative way. And people did, well, what about the hurt speak or the hurt talk or the how you're influencing? By the way, the 82-year-old guy with the orange hair with the early onset of Alzheimer's, he's influencing the young people around the country.
Yeah.
They all got the Donald Sterling tattoos.
Have you heard his podcast? It's amazing.
It's awesome. Awesome. Yeah, Amy Poehler was on it. No, I just mean like saying something stupid, being an asshole, or being anything, that's your God-given right.
Yeah.
And then
our number one podcast doing that.
Thank you. Our God-given right is to not go to the game or not play for your team. And also, I do draw the line at you then implementing some of those shit thoughts you're having.
Right. But I'm
super glad
he did with the housing stuff.
They got Al Capone on tax evasion. That's what this was. It was like, well, we couldn't get him on the real charge.
Right.
So we'll get him on this.
But John Stewart's feeling was he was okay.
Like, he doesn't... I was saying that there's too much videotaping people privately and just everyone's taping everything all the time. And it's like, I didn't want to see Jay-Z's fight on the elevator. I just felt like, eh.
Right.
Like, some of this shit's a little bit overboard. And I generally don't believe in slippery slope arguments, but I believe that this is a slippery slope.
Well, also... think, I mean, when they talk about, oh, here's what this guy did. I mean, you think about what you did in high school. You think about what you said in high school. You think about how you fuck around with your friends. You think about the wildly racially insensitive jokes you've made.
Do you not say awful shit at your house? And he goes, all the time.
Right.
But it's with my friends. And I was like, well, what if the Koch brothers pay one of your friends to record you?
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, I guess I did say it, so technically.
And not only say it, but just we'll pull the snippets out that are going to make you sound as bad as you can possibly sound. I mean, it's almost, I almost feel like everybody, it's almost like being nude. Like everybody is nude at some point in the day.
Yes.
You know, you're taking a shit, you're getting off the toilet, you're stepping into the shower. We all know it. Everyone says something stupid. Everyone makes a racially insensitive joke. Everyone fucks around with their friends or is mean to or something can be taken out of context. But there's nobody filming you sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
We're kind of getting to that point where now, and then when we show the film of you on the toilet, everyone else, all the pussies pretend like they don't shit.
Yes,
they're
exactly.
Like, oh, I don't, no, I hold it in. I haven't shit since I shit. I regret shitting when I was once a sophomore in high school, but I've never shit since then. And
just
I would
a
never.
Gag. Me
would,
and my friends decided we were going to shit
never
one weekend.
Let the S word leave.
They started shitting. I wanted to fit
don't
in.
Don't say the word. It's the S word. I know I've not shit in 27 years. And I would hope that my children never. Yes, then everyone gets all fucking sanctimonious and like, I would never. And
yeah, I consider it like everyone, I always say everyone's racist, everyone's sexist, everyone's all these things. Generally speaking, with the racial stuff, white people, it's like, just don't make laws about it. You can have, I believe like racism, sexism, all this inclusion shit is a moral issue. And no one is 100% moral at all.
Right.
So, like, just stop. But the idea of just video, get, like, this gotcha, everyone just, like, ah! It's like, come on, man, that's, there's got, because then we're just East Germany, but no one goes to jail, we just shame each other out of, you go to Kramer Island.
And the other part of it is, I really don't believe that anyone cares nearly as much as they say they care
about any of the
stuff. Mm-hmm. They just have to take that posture.
Yeah.
And then what happens is somebody records somebody or somebody takes either audio or video or both of somebody saying something insensitive or stupid.
I'm disgusted by gay sex.
Something like that. Right. Now, we're going to play a clip of Alison Rosen saying, I'm disgusted by gay sex.
Also is for fags.
On my news program, and we're doing a roundtable, and now all five people who have another camera on them, now this is a snake eating its own tail.
Yes.
Now there's a camera fixed on us. So now that there's a camera on us, all five of us have to have
outraged.
A competition to see who's outraged
more
over this thing that we all would have done in high school because there's another camera on us and there can't be footage of us listening to your footage.
Well, how else would you prove your morality if you didn't illustrate it on TV and use this other person as a human soapbox upon which to stand?
Plus, thank you. And we don't need footage of us on the internet going, I don't know, wasn't that big a deal?
Yeah.
So he called his daughter a piggy. What's the big deal?
It's almost like getting struck by lightning. That's exactly right. It's almost like getting struck by lightning. You just have to hope it doesn't happen to you.
Right.
It's like, I just hope that hackers don't hack into my email.
But be super indignant when you hear about whoever saying whatever to whomever.
Yeah.
And then you'll be on the happy side
of the
issue.
The Don Imus thing, my first thought was like, he talks 4 hours a day. That's the first time he's ever said anything crazy like that. That's a fucking miracle.
And look, again, especially in this either unscripted situation, like you're up on stage with a microphone in your hand and you're sort of free-forming it, it'd really be like, you know, the next evolution of this is us hauling in rappers for doing like free form rapping. Like you said, ho.
Battle rapping.
Yeah. I'm
sorry,
Kelly
but
Jane.
You did say ho.
Technically, we have the tape.
We have many tapes. So we're going to need you to just, you can't unring that ho bell.
Yeah, anyone can be gotten at any
time.
What
do you think of the Anthony Cumia situation?
That to me was that was actually like calling people animals is a bit like above and beyond to me. It's like, it's just kind of like, ugh, come on, man. You're making this impossible to defend you.
And that was the thing where it was just like, somebody actually, we were joking in New York about who does he hate more, black people or Opie? It's like, because you're just putting yourself out of a job.
But isn't it?
Well, when you're dealing with a corporation, Clear Channel can't be like, we stand by this guy and watch their stock plummet. You know what I mean? Like, but you or somebody that's just doing stand-up or whatever, I think you should be able to stand up and just go like, no, this is what I said. And I say it's like they have irregular shirts at the outlet mall. Mm-hmm. These are irregular jokes. You have to just let someone, if thoughts are my business, every once in a while, fucking weird, jagged thought's going to come out and maybe put it in the outlet mall.
Yeah, and by the way, would we want it any other way? Would you want
everyone thinking twice before?
I mean, look, whether it's comedy or let's just say rap, you want the guy if he's doing a, you know,
eight mile.
Well, that's the thing is everyone's in this, you know, in this perpetual campaign of running for office where it's like, I'm not running for shit. It's like everyone on Twitter is like, I would just like to speak out again. Just like, shut up.
Your statement earlier about just sort of using all these guys as soapboxes to stand on,
yeah,
it's so true. It drives me insane. And I don't mind somebody being genuinely upset about something that somebody said. I mind the part where you're trying to up your stock by,
yes,
just how upset you can be over the thing that A, you're not upset about,
yeah,
and B, you've probably engaged in yourself in at least one form or another.
Absolutely. I know people that were mad at Tracy Morgan for saying something, and I know for a fact that they say racist shit. And it's like, oh, you fucking hypocrites.
Right.
But again, that's how they... Natasha Leggero had the best defense of her comment, which is like, look, if you want to help World War II veterans, go volunteer. But
right,
all this shit of just going online and be like, you're wrong. And it's like, well, you're taking... This is... literally the least you can do, and actually have it read on the activity.
Well, that's
meter.
What's driving me nuts. It's all these fucking posers just putting their bumper stickers on that says "End War." It's like,
yeah,
all right, tell that to ISIS.
Yeah,
it's "End War." All right, great.
Yeah.
Now where,
okay,
are we?
Yeah,
well, exactly. You're a hero. Now we can just get on with our lives. Like, there are many things you can do to make a difference in your community or globally. If you'd like to get,
yeah,
your checkbook out, or you'd like to buy a plane ticket and go somewhere,
yeah,
and start digging wells.
Yes.
But just putting a fucking bumper sticker on and now just going to the Whole,
yeah,
Foods in Santa Monica does not get you off the fucking moral hook.
And you get to pat your... It's actually, I say it's worse than nothing. It's worse than,
yes,
nothing, because at least nothing knows it's nothing.
Right.
And nothing doesn't get to pat itself on the back.
But it's not as bad as Matt Fondelier's dad with the underdog.
No, no.
Or,
what
or,
is that?
Or their kids.
Let's not get carried away.
Personalized license plates.
Oh,
and
yes,
license
plate, it's
frames,
unforgivable.
And,
yeah,
matching license plate frame.
Yeah, it's,
okay, you know what, everybody? I'll tell you why everybody loves football, and especially they love the, what is it called? I keep wanting to say Inside, but that's another show.
The Hard Knocks.
The Hard Knocks. The reason, I have this theory, and I think it's a good time to talk about this, Neil. You tell me if you agree or if Jon Stewart agrees with this. I feel like the reason everyone loves like Hard Knocks training camp, but football in general and everything, is the pure meritocracy of it. That these guys come from all over the country. Some guys come from big programs. Some guys come from,
yeah,
small programs. And there's a bunch of coaches that come from everywhere, too. And it's black guys and white guys and, well, that's about it. But it's black guys and white guys. But
Samoans.
They don't factor in anything.
No. Nothing.
Other than, what's this guy doing?
He is fast.
They watched a game film.
Yeah.
They watched a practice. It's no, like, well, this guy's not quite as good as that guy, but our skin color's a little bit closer,
mm-hmm,
so I want him instead of that. Nope.
Yeah.
It's just, who are the best 11 guys on this side of the ball, and who are the best 11 guys on that side of the ball? And if they're all one color, so be it.
Yeah.
We're not mixing anything in. We're not going to be 0.1% worse by saying, well, we need some balance,
yeah,
in here, whatever.
The
it is.
NBA will occasionally hire like a 13th white guy.
Right.
But not really. He doesn't play.
Pretty rare.
So, yeah, we're just watching guys from all different parts of the country and sometimes even the world,
yeah,
coming in trying to make a team. And there's just a bunch of guys, and all they want to do is win. And they put aside any other thoughts they may have about, well, this guy went to the same college that I went to, or we come from the same group.
His dad called me today. He's an old friend.
Yeah, it's all out the fucking window, and all they do is watch film, and if this guy is one-tenth better than the other guy, they don't care if the dads are fishing buddies or they all go to the same fucking church. It doesn't matter. Yes. And by the way, nothing else is factored in either. Like, well, this guy's a religious guy, or this guy's a non-religious guy, or this guy's married, or this guy's single. No, it all comes down to what they do on the field. Yes. No other questions asked.
It's hard to remember that, though. It's hard to remember how good these guys are. Occasionally on Hard Knocks, you will see a play where you're like, oh, these guys are incredibly prodigious at what they do. But for the most part, it's just because they're all sort of evenly matched. But then sometimes a guy will do something with his arms where you're like, oh, I've never seen it. That's look like an animal. That's like what a cheetah would do.
Yeah.
Or a ball will come in so hot, it would hurt you.
Yes.
But a guy grabs with one hand and keeps running. It's like, oh, that's why.
Well,
he's a professional
athlete. Time watched a basketball game with Blake Griffin. He's a buddy of mine. And we watched five. Yeah, I watched 5 minutes of a like summer league game with him, and I realized I know nothing about. I'm a big basketball fan. I know nothing about basketball. Like, that's the other thing. The amount of shit that these guys know about. That's what I liked about. Did you see last night's Hard Knocks?
Yeah,
there was a lot of shit. I could watch those guys talk about what to do on a route for 20 minutes.
I went to the Raiders training camp when I was trying out for the Raiders when I was doing a man show bit. You got to show me Jerry Porter getting up. It always blows my mind.
We've tried to find that.
It's tough, but we found it.
Oh, we did? Oh, shit.
I think we've seen Jerry Porter getting up with no hands. But Jerry Porter was a rookie back then. He was a phenom, big wide out, kind of showed up at the wrong time on the wrong team. And just never, he played 10 years in the NFL, but
he lacked in finesse, he made up for in like athletic, physical freakishness.
That guy, when he was one of these brothers with no waist, all tricep, 230 pounds, 6'4", and ran like a 4.440.
Yeah.
Where he was fucking around on the field with me. He got the ball at one point, he rolled out to his right, and he just threw a laser beam with his right hand at me, just 40-yard laser beam with NFL ball. Then he put the ball in his left hand. He rolled out to the left. He threw a laser beam with his left hand. And I said, who throws a fucking laser beam with both hands? And, by the way, you don't play quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a wide receiver. He's not good enough to play quarterback. And I just said to him, how the fuck do you do that?
Yeah.
And he said, now, we don't have any film of him, I don't believe. We'll have
was
film
that a
of
young James Caan? Who's that handsome guy?
we have film of him running me over when I'm doing a long snap. But the point is he threw with both hands, and I said to him, how do you throw with your left hand? He said, when I was in high school, I broke my right hand. I played quarterback, so I had to learn to throw with my left hand.
And they are like geniuses with their body.
That was it. That's now I'm gonna knock over champagne. Pyramid.
Oh no!
Yeah, that's another thing. When you try kicking,
oh my god!
And it's not even.
I played football and I could never even kick a fucking football. That's Porter.
What?
All right. I've seen enough of me. The point is the guy's a phenom, but he does a thing in the games. Sorry, I've talked about it before. You have to picture it. You have to picture yourself doing this. You have to picture helmet and shoulder pads, cleats, full football uniform. Picture yourself laying on the ground, on your back, holding the football on your chest, and then getting up. Watch him. He gets up. Now, he's so fast about it, makes it look so easy.
Wow. It's like breaking.
Watch what he does. He doesn't use his hands. His hands don't touch the ground.
You ever see Floyd Mayweather do sit-ups?
Yeah. Now, try, Neil, lay on the ground.
I actually do want to try this.
Just no touching the ground. See, he does it so... Now, he's 230 pounds, and he's wearing a 10-pound helmet. But you have to kick your feet to your side.
He's also been snowed on for 30 minutes.
Yes. Now, you can't use your elbows.
Oh. No.
You can't do it, right?
No, that can't be done.
It's weird. It looks like when he does it, you go, "Oh, there he goes." He's holding the football on his chest.
I really wanted to do it.
You can't fucking do it. You're in good shape, right?
Yeah,
you're strong. And he's 230 pounds. He shouldn't be able to do it. And he's wearing a helmet and shoulder pads.
That's like the end of the Floyd Mayweather 24/7s where he just exercises. They have exercising fucking montages.
Yes.
I'm like, I could watch this guy exercise for 40 minutes.
I could too, but I come at minute 18.
No, you're absolutely right. Where he's doing the sit. He does sit-ups like that.
I know.
He sits up into standing.
All right. Shall we, let's stop jacking up. I love him too. Let's do a little news, shall we, Allison Rosen?
Okay.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison, Allison.
The ALS Association received $8.6 million in a single day, which is more than they had raised on any other single day. And they began posting daily tallies from the This is the Ice Bucket Challenge that everyone's talking about that I shan't be doing.
Mm. It's extortion.
Good name for ASV. The Ice Bucket Challenge. You ready to take that dive,
if
boy?
If you dare.
Right. Since July 29th, it's raised $31.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a lot of money.
Yeah, but what...
An increased awareness of ice.
What are we... ALS, by the way, has... you know what you need if you're a disease?
Mm-hmm.
You need a couple celebs.
A dashing bald man to survive.
You need somebody in Hollywood to get this thing, because ALS... is huge. There's always these huge benefits and huge dinners and like star studded, and it's $1,500 a plate. And I haven't been. I'm usually working, but it's like somebody bought me a plate.
Yeah.
I mean, I bought me a plate, but I didn't go. But somebody sat there with my plate, and it's been going on for a long time. And you think, I know it's a bad one, but is it as prevalent? Like, see, I'm just one of these guys that's like, what's number one? In the disease department. Okay, that gets the most money. And then number two gets the second most. And then we just go down the line.
Yeah.
So whatever claims the most souls gets the most research and funding.
Yeah.
And then whatever second in the soul claiming department, that'll get the second most. And that's all I want.
Stanhope has a bit about that, where it's like you're about raising awareness, where it's like, but there are kids dying of hunger. And you're raising awareness for homeless kid. Like, solve the hunger first.
Right.
And then get a toy for some kid that needs a toy.
Who's fat, by the way.
Yeah.
I'd like to know where, Gary. I want footage of Jerry Porter getting diseased. No, I want to know, where does ALS rank in just the sort of
death
power? Yeah, the power rankings of
it's not very high.
What it does is it
can't
disease,
be in top
heart
10.
Number
I don't think it's top 10.
Well, heart disease would be number one, but yeah, we'll see where it is in terms of soul claim.
I'm trying to raise awareness for slip and fall accidents.
I'm sure
tens of thousands
much
of people.
More trouble in the tub.
Yeah. <absolutely. laughs>
And the reason...
You're probably right.
The reason
is
because Nana was fine, and she was the strongest 88-year-old you'd ever seen, and then she slipped in the tub, and she broke her hip, and then she was bedridden, and then she got pneumonia, and now she's dead.
Yeah.
But it's cool, because I'm driving her super cherry Oldsmobile. I do love it when you see a guy driving a car that's 17 years old, and it's the wrong brand for the 23-year-old, but it's totally cherry, and it's like, Nana died. My roommate got a totally cherry Dodge Shadow 1 year. And by the way, the weird brown color, like with the beige velour interior and automatic, like should have never, no young male adult is ever, but that's when Nana goes.
You can tell the year grandma stopped driving.
That's right.
And by the way, thank you for bringing Totally Cherry back.
Yeah, Totally Cherry. It was Boss. And it's also funny how Nana can have this car that's 21 years old, has 41,000 miles on it, and looks fucking brand new, and your jack-off roommate can fucking ruin that car inside of 7 months.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So fucking fast. ALS claims 5,000 deaths per year.
Jesus, that's like, what is, that's not even top 40, I would think, right?
I don't think it's that many.
5,000.
Phil Spector kills more people per year. You know, year in and year out.
Yeah,
he has one,
yeah,
some,
yeah,
that are 3,500, yeah, yeah, others are, yes, 6,000, but on average, yeah.
But it's the celebrity.
Heart disease. Yeah, heart disease is 596,000 and
slip and fall
600,000, and cancer is about 600,000 too. So 5,000 versus 600,000. There's, yeah, a lot of different kinds of cancer, but yes, I just want the money to go to the big stuff. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you should want the money to go to the big stuff too, because guess who's
more likely,
when the Grim Reaper, yes, shows up at the clipboard, guess what, yeah, it's going to say? It's not going to say ALS and your name under, yeah, it. It's going to say cancer or heart disease.
Mike. And if somebody next to you is dying, if you die before someone with ALS and you raise money for ALS, it's got to be kind of bittersweet.
Oh, absolutely.
If you die of cancer and you're like, I fucking gave
him
money.
Or hypothermia.
Well, I can guarantee that
I helped the wrong group.
Everybody who bites it, who did the ice water bucket challenge, will not be claimed by ALS, ironically.
The guy who invented it apparently drowned last weekend. I'm not even kidding. Look it up.
Really?
Wow. He did die. I hear he drowned. He died.
Yeah.
Really? In a frozen lake?
Yeah, like yeah. No, young guy. I think he was just, I guess it went to his head.
Wow.
Becoming a hashtag went to his head, and he was living high on the hog. And he,
well, what else we got, Allison Rosen?
Well, it seems like things are beginning to sort of quiet down, or an uneasy peace, let's say, has been reached maybe in Ferguson. Fewer arrests are being made. Police said they only made 6 arrests overnight Wednesday compared to more than 40 on Tuesday and dozens in prior nights. Governor Jay Nixon has ordered...
Well, I said it was hard to tell because they all look alike. But and that was an unfortunate statement, I believe.
The governor has ordered the National Guard to begin withdrawing.
I would like to condemn Adam. Hold on. I would like to condemn what Adam just said.
Please.
I've done a lot of work with black people, and I think what you said was repugnant.
Oh, and, I was just making a joke, man.
Someone should just say backsies.
I want
someone should publicly go like, backsies.
How
Thank you.
Yeah.
Call a press conference.
The first... You
be a watershed moment.
You forget the very first part of your statement has to be, I have a great sense of humor. I love humor. This, however,
yes,
is not funny. Thank you, arbiter of comedy.
Yes.
But I always like when you announce, like when the super sour-faced person is up there announcing that they have a great sense of humor.
I have no problem with it. I wrote
2 Simpson specs.
That's right.
And, I can take a joke like the next guy.
That's right. But...
And according to Jim...
That's right.
A producer, and according to Jim, said one of my specs was pretty good.
That's right. All right, so things, unrest is quieting down over there, or it's starting to quiet down. Good.
Yes. All right. In entertainment news, Meg Ryan and John Mellencamp have ended their relationship after 3 years of dating. I didn't even know they were dating.
Didn't know that either.
I also think it's sad that I'm more excited by this story than Ferguson.
Yeah.
This is just more meaty.
Yeah. It must be weird, because I feel like all they would do is sit around over the dinner table and talk about all the great-looking people they fucked before they met. You know what I mean? It might be uncomfortable. Uncomfortable, but yeah. Yeah.
Daryl Hannah, pass the peas.
Top it.
A chick from that video. I can't remember her name anymore, but she was hot.
Married her. Yeah.
Elaine Irwin.
That's right. Thank you. So sad.
You dug deep on that.
Oh.
Elaine Irwin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So according to a source, it was the distance that kept them apart, because she lives in New York and he lives in Indiana. But then according to another source, it was that he didn't like all the attention he got just from dating an actress. That sounds like bullshit.
Yeah.
Didn't he marry a model?
Yes.
Yeah.
Elaine Irwin.
Yeah.
That's right.
We mentioned that earlier in the show.
Yeah, sorry.
He's got a brain tumor. Everyone. Either way.
Also,
it's not that far. Indiana to New York. It's not like he was in India.
Yeah.
And it's fucking Indiana. It's like 8 hours.
By the way.
All the lights, you're there in 8 hours.
If my wife moved to a different state, we'd last forever.
App. Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I just write Hallmark cards. But I just mean that part. Look, let me tell you what gets you broken up. You living in a single and sleeping on the same futon and like yes. doing that thing where you have one bathroom and you're like, honey, I'm running late for work. I want to brush my teeth. Well, hold on. You know, that kind of thing. That's what gets you fucking broken up. The part where you don't see each other for 10 days at a time and then you're super fucking excited yeah. about seeing each yes. other, that doesn't break you up.
Yes.
Thank and it's you. All, yeah, they're also older people.
That's right. All right.
So Meg Ryan hasn't appeared in a movie since 2009, and she's currently directing
Mellencamp. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
She's currently directing Ithaca, which is a version of the William Saroyan novel, The Human Comedy. But what's up with her not being in a movie since 2009?
She had some weird work done, I think.
That's what I'm wondering if that's yeah. why, yeah.
I was surprised it was that recent she had been in a movie. I can't remember her in a movie.
Well, since Prelude to a Kiss?
Since Inner Space. That was the last time
right,
you saw her.
That's right. That's right.
Well, the other thing, I hate to sound... make everyone old, but 2009 was 5 years ago. Like, uh-huh. like you think, oh, 2009, yeah. so it's a couple years back now. Yeah, it's like, no, it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
And although I sat next to her at Kathy Najimy's birthday party. Oh, shit.
The one where you went to Vegas with all
yeah.
the Dan Band
yeah.
Finnerty?
Mm-hmm. Dan
Didn't
Finnerty
Helen
from the
Hunt,
Dan Band.
Is that when Helen Hunt paid you a compliment?
Yes, she did.
What was First of all, you guys sound 1,000 years old, where you're like, I was once in Vegas. Didn't Helen Hunt pay you a nice compliment? Yes, she did.
Yes,
as
quite.
A matter of fact.
Yes, a young, spry 51-year-old Helen Hunt. No, Helen Hunt was sitting next to me at this birthday party, which was Kathy Najimy's birthday party, and then a whole bunch of celebrity chicks who I didn't know, and I was found myself sitting next to Helen Hunt thinking, well, I wonder what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
We only talk shit about Paul Reiser for so long. And I said, I didn't say anything to her, and I didn't like know what to say to her, and she went, hey, man, I really love your movie, The Hammer. And I said, why did you see my movie? Like I was, I'm usually confused by most compliments, yeah. especially from Helen Hunt. And I said, how did you see my movie? Like, I was thinking, it's yeah. never on cable. What'd she do, go out and buy a DVD? And she went, I saw it at the theater. And I said, it was at the theater for like 10 minutes. She's like, yeah, me and my husband went and, her boyfriend went and saw it at the theater, really loved it. And I was like, holy shit. I just had this weird, and then, of course, now I'm a huge, that's all it takes for me, by the way.
No, you're
she
Helen
could
Hunt.
Load a Ryder truck filled with fucking nitroglycerin and fertilizer and take out a fucking federal building, and I would be like, I'm still a big, I stand by her. I'm a huge Helen Hunt fan. All right, so it's a picture of us.
Star-studded.
Who all is in that?
Sherry O'Terry, Ricky Lake.
Right.
Kathy Najimy.
Mm-hmm. Dan from the Dan Band.
Yes. Now, who is...
Who's the one with... You have your arm around in the very middle.
Oh, that's... what's her name? The
yeah.
plus-size actress who probably doesn't like being referred to as a plus-side. Plus.
Cameron Manheim?
Cameron Manheim.
No, sorry, other
yeah,
arm.
On the other side.
Oh, that's...
I know Cameron Manheim is.
That's Kathy Najimy on my...
Then who's the one on all the way on the right?
My God, they look alike.
Who's
that,
the one lady in the Queen outfit?
No.
The one all the way to the right looks like Kathy and Jimmy, too.
No, all the way to the right is...
Oh, that's Nia Vardalos.
Nia Vardalos. Oh, yes. Right. Right. Sounds like an insane... Sounds like a purgatory dinner for me, right?
But Ricky Lake looks like she's shooting a music video. And she was just beamed in. Yeah.
I thought you said
Ricky
shooting
Lake,
a music
hotter,
video.
Hotter that's in person than I would have guessed.
Yeah. So
most actresses are.
Well, we'll put the picture up at amcarolla.com and you can take a look at it. But I had no idea what me and Helen were going to talk about. But it turns out we both found a mutual
common
love
ground.
In my movie.
Common ground.
All right. What else? What the hell was going on? Where were we?
A study has come out that says you eat half of your meals alone, roughly. They sort of tabulated how many meals people eat and how many of them are alone. And it could be because more and more people are just sitting there with their smartphone or a book.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as younger generations delay marriage and forming households, a growing number of Americans are living alone, meaning that we're more likely to eat alone. And Americans' tendency to overwork means that people are taking fewer and fewer meals during the day. I mean, they aren't taking lunch breaks. Mm-hmm.
Don't
yes.
you guys get pissed when you guys, you know, I've said like the worst thing ever is when you do that thing where you go, I'm going to have a nice piece of cheesecake or pie or something for dessert. You get one bite into it, and then the phone rings, and it's your mom. And you kind of do that move where you go, I'm going to slide the plate away. And you start talking for a minute, and then you kind of reach over and go, let's take a little hit because she's fucking waxing on about my stepdad for a little. And then it's that thing where you hang up the phone with your mom, and you look at the plate, and it's empty.
Yeah.
You're like, what happened to the plate? And then you go, oh, fuck, I have no memory.
You didn't even enjoy
no
it.
Pleasure at all from all these calories. I fucking yesterday, we were doing a whole promo shoot for the Catch a Contractor thing, and they had a great caterer. I mean, just all this brisket that had been steeped and soaked overnight and this honey glaze, whatever, salmon.
1,000 years old, Adam Carolla.
All just the great. I love free food.
They had a brisket.
They had such a brisket. Can I tell you? So I'm fucking, I pile a big plate up. I go to my dressing room. I start eating it. I look down and I go, oh, fuck. I'm supposed to call this radio station in Vegas to plug our Vegas show in like 9 minutes. And I'm like, fuck it. And I just power through the whole thing, staring at my iPhone the whole time. Choke the whole thing down in 7 minutes and then call. Guy doesn't pick up. Oh. And I'm like, now I'm fucking stuffed and wildly unsatisfied.
Yeah, that's brisket eating time.
The only way to rectify this is to go load up on a second plate, but I'm fucking full. I just got zero enjoyment out of this motherfucking
thing. And
he
may call back.
That's right.
Thing, like 4 minutes later, he'll call back like, oh, I saw that you called.
Yes. Yes.
See, I think that's why girls don't really eat on dates. Not only do you sort of lose your appetite on a date, but you're not going to enjoy it.
No.
Go home and eat afterwards and pretend you don't eat at all.
Brian, you...
The two things people seem to hate the most doing alone, eating and going to the movies. Where do you guys stand? I love going to the movies
alone. I love going by myself.
Yeah,
I don't mind eating by myself either.
At the bar.
At a nice restaurant?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I don't mind eating by myself.
I'll bring a hoagie right into the theater. That's how
Double down.
I would never go to a movie alone. I still won't go to a movie alone. But I had a small period in my life when I was reviewing movies for Kevin and Bean as Mr. Burcham. And it was like 8 months. And you know when you review a movie, it's like it's your job. It's Tuesday. It's 11. You're heading out to the Cineplex over there in Burbank. And it's like you don't feel that weird guilt that you normally feel of like being
work.
A loser because like I have to see this fucking movie now. And I enjoyed it. I thought I was going to be miserable, but I actually did enjoy it. But then the second it stopped becoming a work requirement, I stopped.
Do you watch
again.
Movies at home by yourself? Will you order a pay-per-view?
I don't know how to work any of that stuff. And there's twice a year when I try to do it and my fucking movie is not represented on Netflix and I just get pissed off and storm off. But I will watch, like I did watch Rush. I'll watch, drink my glass of wine and watch Rush all alone. Yeah, that I will do it at home.
Okay.
All the time. All right, let's bring it home, baby girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
You got everything in that clip from 2014, the opening of the show, a listener call, Neil Brennan's interview. What more do you want?
We'll be playing 1396 tomorrow, and there's a call that's oddly similar to this listener's call in that episode, almost a continuation. So if you want a bizarre continuation of this episode tomorrow, the Will Forte episode will have a call very similar.
Love Will Forte. All right, well, that will do it for Corolla Classics. Thank you again so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you guys spending the weekend with us and enjoying these classic Adam Carolla Show clips. We'll see you tomorrow. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.